Akiva Need a Podcast, episode number 20. That's right.
Yes, King.
Yes, yes, Chess King. And we are ready to go here on the podcast where we spin a wheel of podcast ideas that are submitted to us by the listeners. And then we talk about them with this man, the podcaster's podcaster, Mr. Akiva Wheels Winokur.
How's it going, Rob?
How are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited to talk about Saved by the Bell. I feel like, I can't believe I've never talked about Saved by the Bell in a podcast before.
Okay. All right. Well, we are going to be doing that today. Season 3, episode number 7. Check Your Mate is the name of the episode about a big chess match at Bayside High School as we're ready to go here with Akiva Winokur, a man that once upon a time, he and I podcast all of the TV series Seinfeld. We did a whole rewatch of the Seinfeld sitcom, and we did that all on another website called postshowrecaps.com. But now we're here talking about a wheel of podcast ideas.
Well, you're really explaining everything today.
Yes. Want to get into everything. Look, somebody might say jump in 20 episodes in.
Yeah, I think you could pick up here without being lost. But you should go back just to get like the chemistry and who we are. You should like stop now, listen to all 108 episodes of Seinfeld, and then come back, listen to the first 19 Renaps, and then, you know, this is our 200th episode, I guess, by that.
Well, we also podcast about Curb Your Enthusiasm. I left that out of the backstory.
Yeah, they could probably skip that.
They skip that. Okay.
I mean, if the Curb comes back, how about this? This is important. It's not important. If Curb comes back in like 4 months, are we going to podcast about every episode of Curb?
What do we do? Is this twice a week? Two podcasts a week?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Would this podcast then go on hiatus? Like, would we do maybe the first and the last Curb possibly? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it's a segment on this podcast. I don't know.
I mean, that's a little bit shoehorned in, but okay.
Okay. We will work that out and we will talk about it when we get there, but we're going to talk about Saved by the Bell here today. Last week we did the Conspirapod and I felt like almost universal praise for the Conspirapod, Keith.
Yeah, maybe the most positive feedback we've gotten so far. A lot of it for Antonio Mazzaro, who's
almost none
who's
for
our
us.
Guest.
There was none for us.
Well, we barely had to speak. Like yeah. That's really the ideal. Now, if we could just get guests every week who crush it, we reap all the glory. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, nobody was like, "Oh, Rob and Akiva, your witty commentary on Antonio's conspiracies was so on point."
No, I didn't see one person saying that. It was more like, bring back Antonio. Put it right back on the wheel.
Yeah, I saw a lot of Antonio is a national treasure. Antonio is the best. And a lot of stuff like that. So great job by Antonio.
Do they want Antonio to be on our national treasure podcast? Is that what they're saying?
Is that what they're saying? Yeah, perhaps. Rob and Akiva and Antonio steal the Declaration of Independence.
I really think that should be on the wheel at this point.
Okay, put it out there. Okay, all right. Akiva, we are going to talk about season 3, episode 7 of Saved by the Bell. Any other banter you need to get out of the way?
I wasn't gonna, but now that you bring it up, I do have an idea.
Yes.
That has nothing to do with Saved by the Bell.
Okay.
So there's a guy on Twitter. I don't follow him. I don't know much about him, but his name is Jocko.
Yes. Okay. I know who that
you
is.
You know Jocko.
Yes.
And he's like, I don't even know. Could you explain in like 10 seconds who he is? Because I only see him on my Twitter timeline in one very specific context.
He is, I believe he's a former Navy SEAL, and he talks a lot about, I think that there's sort of like a crossover between motivation and, you know, getting things done. I think that's sort of his message.
Yeah, I think I heard his voice once, and it's like very deep like this, but I could be mixing him up with somebody.
Yes.
And he's, for whatever reason, I don't know if he's political. Oh, I see. I have three people who follow him and you're one of them, but you follow everybody.
Leadership and discipline. I don't know
if he's political, but yeah. I do think he, for whatever reason, has been adopted a little bit more by like the Joe Rogan crew, like the intellectual dark web crew.
Right.
And I don't know if he has any political stance or not, but that seems to be like his, just the people who have sort of, you know, invite him on their shows and that sort of thing.
I could be way off on this. I don't think that his message is outwardly political, but that I think that his message is, you know, be a leader, be tough, be somebody who doesn't, you know, doesn't take no for an answer, don't give up. So that's a lot of what his message is.
Right. So anyway, the reason I'm bringing him up is because I have a friend who really likes him, and he retweets or likes his tweets that sometimes show up on my timeline. And his shtick every day, Jocko Willink, is that he tweets a picture of his wristwatch, which is a digital watch. You know, it has the time on it.
Yeah.
And he's already working out. He'll tweet like getting some or rise and grind or go time. And the watch always says like 4:27 in the morning or 4:34.
Yeah.
It's almost the exact same time every day, which makes sense because he's a Marine. Ooh, I see a 3:55 on the weekend. And he says, work harder. So do you think my shtick should become like waking up from a nap every day? Well, here's my plan. I take my son's PJ Masks watch, which also is a digital watch.
Yes.
And then every day I tweeted him like 11:27. Ooh, just got up from a nap. Think I'm going to have like pizza now or, you know, drinking like a Coke Zero. And just how long before I get blocked if I tweet every day at Jocko Willink, my like 10:35 rise and grind every single day.
I would not poke the bear here.
You think he's going to come beat me up?
Jocko? I don't know. I don't know. Why do you want to mess with a Navy SEAL who is on Twitter that you're going after his whole thing? I wouldn't trifle with him.
He's definitely not a guy to be trifled with. But I don't think he's going to beat me up. He seems like I don't know. Worst comes worse, he blocks me. I can't imagine it gets anything worse. I don't see him dunking on people on Twitter.
Yeah. If you wanted to make that your thing, I say have at it. But I feel like that to make that your thing and to be trolling him, that seems like a mistake.
I mean, listen, I'm just showing respect for his grind. And it's just I have a different style of grinding.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let Akiva know if you think that is a good idea or not. Okay.
Yeah. I already have the PJ Masks watch. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say that, do I wake up at the same time as Jocko? And I probably not quite, and I think that his workouts are a lot more intense than mine are.
You should take a picture every morning when that could become your social media thing, like, because you get up so early. I think people appreciate how early you get up more, but it's just like you watching the Big Brother live feeds or like eating some stupid breakfast.
That's not what I do when I wake up.
What's the first thing you do? Wait, hey, fine, you checking Twitter.
Yeah.
The first thing, let's be honest, the first thing you do when you wake up is, oh, what did I miss? Let's check Twitter.
Yeah, got to see who's mad at me. Got to check that out. Yeah, that's the right way to start the day. Okay, Keeve, what a segue. When I wake up in the morning, the alarm gives out a warning. I don't think I'll ever make it on time. Those are the opening lines to the theme song to Saved by the Bell, the iconic early 90s Saturday morning staple, which has been seen by millions and millions of people around the world in syndication since then. Akiva, what is your backstory with the crew from Bayside High School?
I mean, I was a big Saved by the Bell guy. I didn't watch it when it was on. I don't watch TV on Friday night, Saturday morning. So I was not able to watch the show when it was actually on, which people think of it as a primetime show, but this was a Saturday morning kids show. And it became so popular that it became syndicated and it would be on, you know, CW or UPN or whatever every day at 5 or 6 o'clock. So it was it was in the primetime for get home from school, do a few minutes of homework. All right, here's what's on TV. And it would be Saved by the Bell and Family Matters. And maybe when I was a little younger, like Charles in Charge and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've definitely seen every episode.
Charles in Charge being the fishbowl.
Yeah, people have suggested it. Like 10, 20 times I've seen every episode. And then when the college years came on, I watched that, which was a primetime show, but it only lasted one season. What about you? What's your Saved by the Bell history?
Yeah, I think I was there from the get-go, not on the Good Morning Miss Bliss side of thing. I think that was on the Disney Channel, if I recall, and we definitely did not have that channel. But then I think that from the entire NBC run, I think I was there through Saved by the Bell, even in the summer season with the working at the Malibu Sands with Stacey Carosi. and all of that, and all the way through the graduation. I feel like I did not follow Saved by the Bell, the college years, week by week. I think I definitely checked it out a little bit, and I was not
there miss much.
For Saved by the Bell, the new class.
I didn't watch. I wasn't a big new class guy. It just wasn't so good. At least the college years, you had the nostalgia of most of the same characters. I think with Saved by the Bell also, like, they had within a 4-year stretch, they had like 40 different sort of editions of the show, where the first year it's Good Morning, Miss Bliss, where they're in eighth grade and it's not a lot of the same characters. Then there's really only 2 normal years of the show. And then by the 4th season we're watching now, which is, I guess, technically the 3rd season. I don't know. It's confusing. I don't want to get into that.
It is very confusing.
They start to bring in new characters, but also, as you mentioned, they bring in Stacey Carosi. They go to the beach for about half the, you know, for about 10 episodes this season. But the way they would do it is, and a lot of cartoons are like this, they would show 2 new episodes a week. So one would be a Bayside High regular episode, and then one would be a beach episode. And what we're in the middle of now is the simultaneous beach and Bayside High episode. So you would have seen one of these and one of the beach with Mr. Carosi and Stacey Carosi. Stacey Carosi would go on to be the wife on Raymond?
No.
Or King of Queens. King of Queens, right?
King of Queens, yes. Leah Remini.
Leah Remini, yes. Now famous for fighting Scientology, I think. Yes, so she...
Perhaps a pre-Scientology Leah Remini.
Oh, who knows? But maybe Mr. Carosi got her into it. I think the... I don't think
Mr. Carosi was into Scientology.
I don't know. But then the last season, there's a lot. They basically don't have Tiffany Amber Thiessen because she goes to 90210, and Elizabeth Berkley because she goes to do Showgirls. She didn't say, "I'm leaving, I'm doing Showgirls." She said, "I'm leaving to go movies and to go to do movies." And nobody was interested in her. I guess
that was the movie
Showgirls.
She got. Right.
That was the movie she got. Not a great career decision. But there's really a lot of
9 more episodes of Saved by the Bell would have done the trick.
I think not doing Showgirls is better than doing Showgirls in hindsight, because people still remember her as the Showgirls actress.
Yes.
I think if she had to do it again, she probably I would say if she got paid $2 million to do it, it was a bad move. But I'm assuming she got, you know, 80 grand and it was a terrible move.
Yeah. I don't know. We'd have to go back and take a look at it. There was the Showgirls, and there was also Striptease, which was the Demi Moore film.
Demi Moore, yes.
Which was sort of like the mid-90s look at the stripping game.
Yeah, I didn't watch. I never saw either of them.
Yeah. Striptease was the one, I think, that went on to be more iconic for being a famously bad movie. And let's hope that Elizabeth
I think
Berkley
Showgirls was more iconic. Also, Showgirls had, like, I remember it was a big deal. It was like NC-17 and not rated R at one point. That was a big deal.
Are you sure that you're not confusing Striptease with Showgirls?
No,
Striptease. Which one are you saying?
I think Striptease was more. I don't want. This is like creepy to even get into it, especially since I've never seen them. It was, Demi Moore obviously became much bigger than Elizabeth Berkley. I don't know.
Demi Moore already was big.
Movie that Demi Moore was in where she shaved her head?
That's G.I. Jane.
G.I. Jane. Yeah. G.I. Jane. I remember like seeing the commercials for that and being like, oh, that looks good. And then it was like a 2 on IMDb.
Striptease is iconic. I think Showgirls was just, another credit in Demi Moore's IMDb.
No, Showgirls. Demi Moore's not in Showgirls.
What am I saying? The 2 S's are getting us confused. This is like an Abbott and Costello.
You're confused. I'm not confused at all.
Showgirls is iconic.
Yes. Striptease is, it was whatever. And that's Demi Moore.
Yeah.
Probably a better movie, but not sort of like so bad it's good.
The names are too similar.
We're not putting this on the wheel, guys. Don't even ask.
Also, did you ever see Showgirls?
Wow.
Or Striptease?
I said like 5 times already. I didn't see either of them.
I think it's Showgirls. That's the Elizabeth.
Should we start this podcast again?
I think it's like very campy also. I think it's like.
Yes, it's very campy. It's very campy. I mean, why would you watch it now? I feel like the internet's got better stuff on it than Striptease and Showgirls.
Okay. All right. Well, let's
get out of this hole.
Get out of this.
Yeah.
All right. Kiev. All right. So we're talking about this episode. Check Your Mate. Anything else you want to set up about Saved by the Bell before we talk about this particular episode?
Not really. I will say one of the first podcasts, if not the first podcast I ever heard you do, was yourself and Eric Stein doing sort of a deep dive into the series Saved by the Bell, not a particular episode.
Yeah, we did a whole thing. That was really the first time I had ever spoken to Eric Stein on any sort of podcast like that. I met him once before. I met him at the the Fox Reality Awards, the night that Johnny Fairplay infamously got slammed by Danny Bonaducci. And I met him that night. He was just coming off of his Big Brother season. And I think we were sort of like Facebook friends. Then I messaged him. I don't think we ever talked in between then. And we had a really long talk. It was like a 3-hour podcast. I'm like, oh, I got to break this into two parts. Can't put up a 3-hour podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. And so I'll link to that in the show notes. The original Eric Stein, Saved by the Bell cast from 2011, I believe.
Yeah. And I did invite him to come on this show, but he's busy and he's already doing
it. It was his birthday this week. I felt bad that I already did a podcast with him and didn't mention it. But
On his birthday?
He did not podcast on his birthday. But two of my bros.
But it's birthday week.
His birthday week. Yes. That Stephen Fishback's birthday was Thursday and then Eric Stein's birthday was Friday.
Wow, that would be one lit party if it happened.
Yes.
Friends? Are they friends with each other, Stephen and Eric?
I think that they are friendly. I don't think that they... I think that Eric is too wacky for Stephen Fishback. Stephen is a much more serious guy.
Mm, yeah. Yeah.
But
all right, so check your mate.
Check your mate, okay?
What's there?
The episode follows the Bayside Chess Club. Big chess match with Valley High School, ultimately. Keeve, did you know that chess was so uber competitive at Bayside High School?
Is it, though? Here's what's confusing, because we start out at a high school chess tournament. Is it uber competitive, or is it just like they have one superstar guy? It's like a star player on a bad team.
Perhaps. You know,
and that Screech is like the whole team. He's like the star running back, but it's not a great football team.
Yeah, so you feel like that this is like one of these like high schools where they just have like one star player and everybody just comes out to watch Smash Williams?
Well, what makes no sense is like the whole tournament structure. They start off and there's a chess tournament and some guy loses, but then Screech wins and then Screech advances to the finals. But like, what did the other, is it an individual tournament or a team tournament? I'm a little confused by that also.
I mean, everything is very confusing here. We're in the Bayside Gymnasium. The chess match is being called over KKTY Bayside Radio, which yes. I don't think that there's ever been a chess match broadcast over radio ever.
It wouldn't shock me if like the world championships were broadcast on radio in like Russia or maybe the Scandinavian country where the number one guy, I think the number one guy now is maybe Swedish. Like, I wouldn't shock me if that was broadcast on the radio there, but who is listening to high school radio chess? I think at that point you have to give up on whatever's going on. You're like life is pretty much over if you're listening to high school radio chess.
It's so absurd. Now the Bayside radio station, I believe, is only seen in maybe one other episode where they
One episode that focuses on
with
it,
the Big Bopper, right? Where they uncover the radio station. So they drag out the KKTY Bayside radio station equipment, and Jesse and Zach have the play by play, but Zach seems to know nothing about chess and seems does not want to be there. So I'm not sure why Zach wanted to be on the mic for the calling the chess tournament.
Well, famously, there's a school rule that 6 kids get to run the whole school. Nobody else is allowed to do anything. So you have two people, two of our core 6, Lisa and Kelly, who are the cheerleaders for the chess tournament because, you know, every chess tournament needs cheerleaders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you have the two announcers. And you have Screech. So really the only other option to announce the chess tournament was Slater, who ends up announcing it later when Zach dresses up as the Russian kid.
Right.
But there were no other options. There's never like a red shirt rando gets an important gig like this.
Well, we have like a couple dozen just red shirt nerds that hang out in the background. Keeve, that I had not watched an episode of Saved by the Bell recently. There really is a lot of nerd bashing that goes on. The standpoint of Saved by the Bell, I think, is staunchly anti-nerd.
It's very anti-nerd. There's also a weird thing, which is if you really like take a step back and think about the core 6 on Saved by the Bell, you have Zach, who's the All-American, Slater, who's the jock, Kelly, who's like the prom queen, Jesse, who's the brain. And Lisa, who's the rich kid, but then Screech,
popular, yeah.
Then Screech is not really the nerd, like, because Screech, if you think about it, should be dumb. He should be like the dumb nerd, because Jesse's the smart one. Mm-hmm. Jesse gets into Stanford, which is the Harvard of the West. Mm-hmm. I think, but Screech, for whatever reason,
Stansberry.
Oh, you're right. Stansberry. They couldn't actually. Stanford would have sued them if they brought them up at 9 a.m. on Saturday morning. You're right. It was Stansberry. Why could you be Harvard? Why could you mention Harvard, but then bring up Stansberry?
I don't know.
Maybe Stanford is more litigious than Harvard. But then, so then Screech, who should be dumb, is smart. So he's like incredibly stupid about everything, but he's a very good student for some reason. So then Screech is ahead of all the other nerds in Bayside on the pecking order. Like, there are some real geeks. My theory is there's only 20 kids in this whole school, just based on who's in the hall. And like, it seems like there's only one class, mm-hmm. Which is right next to the principal's office. But it's like Screech is the king of the nerds. But I agree. This show really bashes nerds with pocket protectors and all these things. It's very anti-nerd.
Right. There's some Venn diagram of nerd, geek, and dweeb in terms of, you know, who's what. You know, if you're into like a fandom, but you're not smart, but you're unathletic. Like, I don't know. There's some formula for figuring it all out. But that, you know, Screech is not a down the line nerd.
Except he kind of is. Like, he is in any other world, he'd be a huge loser. But for some reason, because he's the friend of the important people, he sort of gets a nerd pass.
Now, this echoes back to one of our biggest disagreements that we've ever had on a podcast, where I'm comfortable talking about Screech's nerddom, because I have been a self-identified nerd for all of my life, and I've heard that many times, but I once alleged on a podcast that you were also too a nerd, and you got very upset with that, and you apparently share an anti-nerd worldview with Saved by the Bell.
You should play that now. You should go back.
I don't have that clip, but I believe it's from the Seinfeld Look Back at 100.
It's our 100th episode.
Yes.
That was our most contentious moment ever on a podcast. You messaged me multiple times after the episode asking me if I was okay.
Yes. So like, are you more of the Slater or the Zach of our group?
We have a group. Zach, I always viewed the show through the prism of Zach, because like Slater has these big muscles, which I couldn't even like pretend like I had. So I was the Zach. I was not the Screech.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think you're the Screech either. I don't know who you're. You might be the Lisa Turtle. I don't know.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
Maybe I'm the Lisa Turtle.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, in terms of these characters, Screech Powers is at the center of everything here in this episode. Big Screech episode where he's the star of the chess team. And also, he is the star of this love story as his girlfriend, Violet, is here, played by Tori Spelling.
Yeah, they get Tori right before she really breaks out, which is why this is her third appearance. And even though the episode ends with her and Screech together, we never see her again on Saved by the Bell.
Oh, this is it for her?
This is it for her. Violet never appears again because they just, you know, they couldn't get her after this.
I'm not sure what year Beverly Hills 90210 is going to start. So at some point she's going to go and begin Beverly Hills 90210. Do we know the production date on this episode in terms of when it was filmed and aired?
It was aired on October 5th, 1991.
Okay. And so very soon after, they're going to begin the Beverly Hills 90210, I think, because Tiffany Amber Thiessen is going to join Beverly Hills 90210 a couple of years in.
Right. Yeah. Tat. What do you pronounce? Tat? Yes. Tat was not an original on 90210, which, by the way, we may talk about that one day. Right. It's in the fishbowl. I just Googled Tori Spelling to see when she started. And here's the headline from the Mercury News. Tori Spelling faces scam complaints over 10-year-old daughter's slime company.
Oh, okay. Well, should I say shut it down?
Shut down the slime company? Have you had to, because your kids are kind of young, have you had to deal with the slime yet?
Oh, I'm very anti-slime. And everybody knows it. All of my kids know it. My kids know it and my wife knows it. And then kids are like, Dad, we're going to put slime on you. And I say, so help me God if any slime touches me.
Slime in the house. You allow it in the house.
It's in the house because my wife brings it in and my kids want
it. What does she mean when she brings it in? She just like finds it on the street?
We'll buy it. I mean, we had a birthday party here a couple of months ago And the big activity was that we had the kids making slime. I was like, what is this? Why? Why have you done? You know, I hate this.
What about squishies? Are your kid into into squishies
gross.
Or no?
Well, I hate all gross stuff. It's so disgusting.
Because I famously have been trying unsuccessfully to monetize one of my children. Anyone. Mm-hmm. I don't care which one.
Yeah.
And so my daughter's very into squishies. So I said, oh, you should do like a squishy YouTube channel. And my wife's like, no, get out of here with that.
Akiva, what I don't get is my wife is like, oh, we'll put Purell on germs. Oh, don't go to Chuck E. Cheese. Don't do wash your hands. Oh, but oh, get, kids, get all your hands in this slime. Make sure.
Yeah, but it's original slime. It's their slime. It's not like it's been all over the place and now they're touching it.
Oh,
like,
what do you think the kids do with slime?
What's your problem with slime? That it ruins the house or that it feels gross? The texture bothers you.
Both. It's disgusting. It's disgusting to touch. I don't want it touching me. And then,
are you a big texture guy? Do you not like certain? Do you like hate when people like scratch the chalkboard or even like?
I mean, I don't like that.
Or like, what about erase the chalkboard? Because that skews out some people.
It doesn't bother me that much.
You might need a little occupational therapy to get rid of like the
perhaps.
You know,
perhaps.
If there's some real like texture issues here,
but inevitably. The slime ends up like I'm stepping in it. It's on the couch. Yeah. It's everywhere.
You have to keep it to one place, but that's impossible. You have to like only do it on the table or only in the playroom or something.
It's the worst
thing.
It is
tricky. Yeah. Luckily, my 5-year-old's not into it because then it'll be like all over the beds and everything. Right now, it's just my 10-year-old who's relatively responsible. She's over it. We're between slime kids right now.
Yeah. How did we get the slime?
Not sure. Well, what I would say Zach and Slater are pretty slimy in this episode.
They're pretty slimy in this episode. And yeah, and this is not nobody went on to go beyond. You can't do that on television, right?
Oh, no. Tori Spelling. That's how we got into it. Tori Spelling.
Oh, slime
kid,
company. Yeah.
Slime company.
Beverly Hills 90210 kicks off 1990 is. So I guess she might have been doing some double duty.
Yeah, guest spots, but then it got then she got, you know, she picked a side. She went.
Yeah, the show became a hit, I guess, and so she had to focus all her attention on what's going on somewhere else in at the Beverly Hills High School, not the West Beverly High, not Bayside High.
That's right.
Okay. All right. So Screech also has a little bit of a Dumbo storyline going on where he has a lucky beret given to him by Violet, which is his good luck charm. He has not lost a match since he wore the red beret.
Yeah, the lucky beret. Are you a big, like, you watch a lot of sports with your teams. Are you a big luck guy? Do you, like, only sit in the same spot if the Mets or the Jets are doing well? Or like, make kids, you know, like, do you have any rituals that help the teams win the game?
No, I do not. I used to have one of my best friends in college had a lot of superstitions about who was sitting where or what was on the table. But,
yeah.
No, I don't subscribe to that.
When I was a kid, I did, but I don't do that anymore at all.
Okay. You've grown out of it?
Or my teams like don't play enough important games for me to even care anymore. Like when the Jets are 4-8, I don't care where anybody's sitting. I'm just, you know, like watching the game with half an eye.
Yeah. So we get a caper going on here for Zach Morris. Now, Akiva, have you watched any of the Zach Morris is trash videos that are put out? I think it's by College Humor.
I mean, listen, Zach Morris is trash. He's an awful person, but I have not watched any of those videos.
Yeah, they do a really good job outlining a lot of the bad stuff that Zach Morris is up to. Zach Morris is a sociopath.
Yeah, I do think, like, did you watch any of the Fire Festival documentaries?
Yeah, this is exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, this is what made me think of them. I do think that, Billy McFarland probably watched a lot of Saved by the Bell when he was a kid.
Yes. Zach Morris and Billy McFarland, the person that put together the Fire Festival, have to be one in the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, for sure. Like some of the even Billy McFarland wouldn't have tried today's thing. Like I watched both Fire Festival documentaries. Obviously, the Netflix one's better than the Hulu one.
Oh, I watched the Hulu one.
Yeah, the Hulu one's really good, but I think the Netflix one was a better made film. Even though they both had some, you should watch both if you liked one. I didn't see any kidnapping in that documentary. Like all his crimes were financial. Like these guys were out there ruining lives and their opponents are faking girlfriends. And I mean, like, this is high school. These are high school kids. This is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that the Billy McFarland would try to say, like, no, everything I did was going to work. Like, it would have worked if, you know, this would have happened. I had good intentions, where I'm not sure all of Zach Morris's capers that you could say that the ends justify the means.
I mean, they did all this for $300 and really $150. What would they bet? They bet $300. So, yeah, that, like, that's. They're willing to kidnap for $300.
Yeah, Keeve, did you know that there was that much action going on high school chess?
I didn't know you could bet on professional chess.
Yeah. Is that what Michael Jordan was doing?
Listen, MJ would take any action you could throw at him. You pick a side, he'll take the other side.
Yeah. So Zach is beginning to, is he taking bets or that he's making bets on Screech and his continued success in the chess match?
Yeah. I mean, they find the guys from Valley who's the tip, like Valley's always their big, you know, high school rival right down the street, I guess. And I guess the Valley goons seem to be even less likable than Zach and Slater.
Somehow. Okay. So we have our championship match coming up against Valley. More on that to come later on in the episode. So we're going to the max, and we got a whole setup here where Zach and Slater are marketing Screech to the high heavens, because we have t-shirts that even Johnny Fairplay would be proud of. The t-shirt design that Zach Morris and Slater are putting out there to get your Screech t-shirts.
Yeah, they're really monetizing Screech. I mean, they made enough money that even if they lose the bet, they're probably at least still even, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably they're still like- even.
There's a lot of demand for a t-shirt of the face of one of the biggest losers in the school for some reason.
Because he's so good at chess. Everybody wants.
Have we established, is the Max like on school property? What is the deal with the Max? Is the Max near the school enough that maybe the seniors are allowed to go there for lunch?
So I believe the Max is independently operated, but it is on the school grounds.
That's a good deal to get like a restaurant on your school grounds. I guess maybe massive high schools. I went to high school with 100 something kids. We wouldn't have had that. But I guess that happens if there's a school that has like 2000 kids in a grade. There's no reason why there wouldn't be a restaurant on campus. Right. I'm sure there's schools in the country that have that.
Like, I don't think they're at the Max during school hours. Like, I feel like that maybe.
So is it the after school hangout possibly?
Yeah, well, I think that that's what the idea is. So, yeah, so I don't think they're there for lunch during the school day. I don't think there's ever any talk like, hey, the bell just rang, it's seventh period.
Are we ever in the cafeteria in school? I don't think there is one. No. So maybe the Max is sort of the cafeteria for some reason.
Yeah, maybe it's that they let the kids go out for lunch. But I think that most of the action at the Max takes place after school.
Okay, fair.
Okay. And Zach is also, you know, really trying to market Screech, saying like, hey, everybody, macho jocks are out. It's, you know, Screech is the new icon.
Yeah, jocks are out. Nerds are in. Nerds are cool now.
Nerds are in. Okay. So the Valley cousins are going to show up and they are here to talk some trash. And ultimately, they have an ace in the hole because they have a new Russian transfer student here at Valley High School.
Do you think that the kid Screech beat who got pulled out, like, is he in a closet somewhere? Was he also kidnapped? Because we don't know what happened to him. They just say, oh yeah, our champion who Screech beat is gone. Peter Brezhnev, the Russian kid, is a new transfer student. He's going to take his place.
I don't think that the original Valley chess champion is locked in a closet. I don't.
You don't think so? You don't think maybe they beat him up and made him leave the school?
No, I don't think so. I think they just.
By the way, this episode also extremely racist against Russians.
Russophobic, is that the right word?
Oh, absolutely, very Russophobic.
Yes, very anti-Russia. Perhaps either very behind the times or ahead of the times.
Yes. Yeah. It depends on your outlook. Yeah, Peter Brezhnev also not credited. We don't know who he is. He's not credited in the episode. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Now, it wasn't Mark Paul Gosselaar pulling double duty, was it?
I don't think so. I was thinking, like, is it somebody else and we should know it is? But no, it's not.
Okay. So, Akiva, we are setting up some sort of a Rocky IV type plot line here in this episode.
I think that's fair. I do think this is the American versus the Russian. It has a lot of... Is this before Rocky IV?
I think it's got to be after. I feel like Rocky IV is probably like 1987.
Okay, so this is after, yeah. But it is the American versus the Russian for all the gold.
I will break you, Screech.
Yeah, he should have said that.
Yes, it would have been too on the nose. 1985 for Rocky IV.
Oh, I thought it was like 1990. What do I know?
Okay. This guy, the Russian guy, that he is a descendant of Spassky, who is chess player. I don't know. Is Spassky a real guy?
Probably.
Yeah.
Why make up a fake chess guy? Although the show isn't even willing to say Stanford University.
Yes,
so maybe
Boris
Spassky's
fake. Spassky, that he is a Russian chess grandmaster.
Mm hmm.
Screech is getting very psyched out about the idea of going up against Spassky's nephew.
Screech was confident against the other guy, but this guy is a different level.
Yes, but the one thing that Screech has going for him is that he still has the red beret from Violet. Don't worry about anything. You got that red beret.
Yeah. I mean, do you think like they're telling him moves in there? Like what? Like maybe the red beret has
earpiece?
Bill Belichick style cheating through there. I guess there's nobody smart enough to help him, right?
No.
Like who'd be telling him the moves?
No, it's like Dumbo. That you know, it's like I can't lose because I have my red beret on.
Dumbo wears a red beret. No, I've never seen Dumbo.
Dumbo has a feather, and they convince Dumbo that he can fly if he has the feather.
Oh, and then he loses the feather, and then at the end he flies?
He can fly because he has giant ears. That's why he can fly.
Does he fly at the end without the feather? Spoiler alert for Dumbo from 1906.
So. I believe that's the case. Okay. I have not seen the animated series.
Aren't they making a new one now, did it come out and just missed it?
No, it's coming out now.
Should we put it on the wheel, Dumbo?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. Okay.
Maybe Operation Dumbo Drop.
Ooh, Operation Dumbo Drop. Okay, I've seen that.
We'll save it. Okay.
Yeah.
We go to some sort of a chess practice here. Kiva, could you explain what's going on here at chess practice?
Well, yeah. So chess practice is, I'd say, different from every other chess practice on Earth. It's a lot of finger exercises and like jumping up and down, not a lot of actual chess moves.
Yeah. There's like a gym teacher there who has brought all of the Bayside High School nerds together and is like instructing them in like finger calisthenics.
Yeah.
And
maybe that's what chess practice is. I've never been to chess practice before. Have you?
Nope. Can't imagine that's the case. You know, the whole episode treats chess like it's some sort of a contact sport and then is examining what the world of chess practice would look like if you knew nothing about chess.
I mean, not very respectful to chess this episode.
No, no. The episode has a real anti-chess worldview.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach and Slater are now bringing people through. They pull Screech aside. They are charging money for people to take a Polaroid picture with Screech. This is like a cameo.com before its time.
Yeah. And I have to imagine Screech's price would be about $3 at most.
Now people are very excited to take a picture with Screech. He had so much celebrity, so much cachet.
I mean, I guess people are listening to the radio and they hear like, ooh, who's this high school chess star that I listen to on the radio on the number one radio station in Los Angeles?
Well, we have a woman who comes in and she also wants to talk with Screech, and her name is Allison. And Allison is somebody who really catches the attention of Zach Morris. And Allison, she is not a student, but she is a woman who is here from Chess Boy magazine.
Yes, she wants to check out his moves. Chess Boy magazine, of course, one of the biggest magazines in the country.
Yeah.
Back in the day when print media was still doing well, Chess magazine, you know, was probably doing better than like the number one magazine now.
You think so?
I don't know. But yes, Chess Boy magazine hears about the high school chess tournament and wants to interview Screech Powers.
What is Chess Boy magazine supposed to be?
I mean, I could see a lot of strategy. If you're a big chess guy, like, here's the game of the month. Here's an interview with, like, the best player, the hottest player right now. Not, like, hot, like, here's his shirt off and it's a centerfold, like Allison is alleging. But I don't think it's impossible. There's definitely a chess magazine.
Sure, there is a chess magazine. But she is here from Chess Boy magazine. And
do you think it focuses on, like, the beefcake aspect of the chess?
Yeah,
people.
It seems to be.
And also, it seems, aren't they taking out half their demo? Like, wouldn't, like, there's a lot of female chess players. Wouldn't people want to see them also?
It seems to be some sort of cross between profiles of chess players and erotica.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's a very niche thing.
It's a very niche thing that Allison talks about that Screech is going to be the centerfold for Chess Boy magazine, that she invites him to the Chess Boy pool party mansion. At the mansion.
The Chess Boy, mansion.
The Chess Boy
yeah.
mansion.
Yes.
So,
and he knows about it. He's like, oh yeah, they have a pool shaped like a pawn.
Yes. So it does seem to be some sort of a crossover between chess, and then it's also very overly sexualized.
So are we to believe that Chess Boy magazine is real? She just happens not to be a journalist for the magazine. She's a student.
That, according to Screech, seems to think Chess Boy magazine is a real thing.
Well, I would assume he subscribes to it if it's real. Also.
Right. He knew about the pawn-shaped pool.
Yeah.
So yes. There seems to be, in the Saved by the Bell universe, a actual Chess Boy mansion.
Yes, that's fair.
Okay. That Screech says that he considers himself to be the Kevin Costner of the chess circuit.
Mm-hmm.
So
very, very timely reference.
Very timely reference. And Zach and Slater are blown away because why is this hot woman talking to Screech? What does she see in Screech that she doesn't see in Zach Morris?
You know what I was thinking today also? Does this series pass the Bechdel test?
Are there ever two women talking to each other
yes.
about something that is not a guy?
Yes, this episode does not. That's safe to say. But does this series pass it? I would love to see like the 8 examples where it happens, if so.
I would
because
have
literally
to think,
half of our stars are female. Mm-hmm. They're not the focus of this episode, but they are the focus of some episodes.
This is a good question. I would have to imagine in the run of the series that there are conversations that happen between the female cast members that are not about the love interests of being in a relationship with Zach or Slater.
Yeah. Now I have an intern now. Should I make my intern go back through all the Saved by the Bell episodes and compile like a list of the times Saved by the Bell broke the Bechdel test?
I would have to say that probably it's in the teens, the number of times that it happened.
What if we had everyone watch one episode and we tried to see?
Go
like
check.
A sign
let
up
us
sheet.
Know. I mean, off the top of my head, I feel like that there's got to be some conversations between in the famous episode where Jesse Spano is taking caffeine pills.
Yes.
That there is some talk about the all women's group. And, you know, that they need to practice about their, you know, rehearse their dance. And is Jesse getting enough sleep? So I feel like that there probably is some conversation there between the all women's group.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, I'm sure it does. It's just question is how many times, like how many different episodes.
Now,
but not this one.
Does it count if like the women are talking about how they're going to get back at Zach Morris? I feel like that there's a lot of
that. So if you're talking about a man, but in a negative way, I don't
right.
know.
We'd of have like, to hey, we'd oh, have here's what someone. We'll do to really mess with Zach. He thought he could get one over on us. We're going to screw him over.
I don't think so, because ultimately they're sort of interested in him. I think that doesn't count, but I'd leave it to a smarter person to decide.
Okay. All right. So they're talking about how this doesn't make any sense, Akiva, that this woman is talking with Screech. And Slater's explanation is, look, there's a lot of things in life that just don't make sense. Like, why does Sinead O'Connor have a hairdryer?
Yeah, another timely reference.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, why is Rod Belding only appear in one episode of the show when he's the best character?
So Allison is trying to take Screech out to lunch, and there's a lot of concern about, hey, Screech has a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with this?
Is the journalist, like, I don't know what, you went to a more traditional school than I did, high school. Mm-hmm. Are journalists who are interviewing students allowed to just roam the halls and try and date them if they don't attend the school?
Well, it's what, 1991, 1992?
Yeah. Not a lot of security back then, probably, compared to now.
I feel like there's a little, there was some security, but I do think that a journalist probably could have gotten into the high school, into Wanta High School.
Okay, so if a journalist wanted to interview you, like, hey, here's Rob, he's going to be on Survivor in a few years.
I don't know if that would
What magazine would you have been on? Lonely Boy magazine?
Yeah. Okay, so everybody, all of our principal characters, not Mr. Belding, they leave the scene, and we see Allison on the payphone, and all of a sudden we hear the real voice of Allison, and she basically calls the guys from Valley and reveals the entire plan on a payphone.
Does she sound like a Valley girl here, or does she sound more like Long Island-y?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what accent she's doing.
It seems like Long Island. It seems more like something you would have heard at Wanta High School than Valley High
School. Yeah, it's a little Marissa Tomei, My Cousin Vinny. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what a gifted voice actress Allison was.
I mean, she only did a few. This was basically the end of her career.
So. That was it.
Yeah, and they heard that actress, and that was it. But yeah, I would say this is one of the more famous lines of the series in terms of like people repeating it when we were kids.
What, see at the Galleria?
Yeah, see at the Galleria. I feel like we always would say that when we were kids.
You would?
I mean, as a joke.
I never heard that.
You don't remember
see
at the Galleria? I feel.
I don't.
Oh, we used to talk like that. See at the Galleria. And also, like, I'm sure the youngins listening right now, like, don't realize how big of a deal payphones were if you had a scam or something happening in school. Like, oh, my friend has an extra ticket to the Met game tonight, and I need to go straight from school to Shea Stadium. Like, I have to call my mom on the payphone. Mm-hmm. You could go into the office and ask for, I don't know about in your school, but in my school, you could go into the office, but not for something like this. You could go, if you were sick, the office would call your mom or something, but you couldn't go and ask for like run-of-the-mill things because they were busy. Right.
Wait, you're saying that the scam was to get out of paying the quarter for the payphone that you could use the office?
No. I'm just saying like, well, yeah, sometimes you didn't have a quarter on you. You needed like exact change. But also just there was one payphone in the school. Maybe someone would be on it. The point is payphones were like an important part of our existence when we were little kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like my high school had a payphone in it. And like I remember having to use it at least a couple of times. By senior year, people had cell phones, but certainly by freshman year, nobody had them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do our younger viewers or listeners know what a payphone is?
I think everyone knows what a payphone is.
They do. They understand that it's in the name.
Yeah, like I it's like pretty self-explanatory. And like a lot of if you've never seen an old movie or a TV show, maybe. But like they appear a lot in like 1980s, early 90s cinema and TV. No,
probably. So the big plan is that Allison is no reporter from Chess Boy magazine. She is, in fact, a mole. And she is pretending to be a reporter so that she will be able to break up Screech and his girlfriend. So he will not be able to concentrate on the match so that Zach Morris and Slater will lose the $300 bet that they made with those guys from Valley.
Yeah. And by the way, this is like an M. Night Shyamalan level twist from Saved by the Bell, because we don't know. The audience is as duped as Screech is at this point, right? Because didn't we think that she was like above the level until now?
Yeah, I think
usually they're very heavy handed where she'll like, you know, it'll be very clear that the person is a fraud for whatever mm-hmm. reason. But here they're sort of not showing their cards until the payphone call.
Yeah. Big twist. OK, so Screech and the reporter are at the max. Now we know her true intentions, and Violet comes in and Screech is completely oblivious to Violet while being interviewed and talking with Allison.
Are you more of an Allison guy or a Violet guy?
Well, I know Allison's true intentions. Violet has a pure heart for Screech.
Yeah. All right. It is funny because Tori Spelling at this point is like a beautiful woman, but they cast her play the nerd and they just pigtailed her up and made her look like, you know, much dorkier.
Yeah. Akiva, could you give us a Screech's perspective on this? The episode I feel like is unclear that did Screech have impure intentions of that? Would he have cheated on Violet?
That's a good question.
With
been
Allison,
wondering this for years.
Or did he just see sort of like was he sort of blinded to Violet by the fame, or was it that he was attracted to Allison?
I think he is attracted to her. I don't think he would cheat like willingly. I do think that he's not used to the level of attention he's getting because he never gets it before or after this in the course of the series, right? But I also think she's a journalist, so he's not like, I don't think, you know, she's probably much older than a high school student. So I don't think he thinks it's even a possibility that this woman would be interested in him in a romantic way.
Yeah, I think that he's attracted to the idea of being in the magazine, going to mm-hmm. the Chess Boy Mansion. Of course, that's all of our dreams to one day get to the Chess Boy Mansion. And so I think that he's very excited about the prospects of that. I don't think he ever looks at Allison as somebody who he would leave. Like he's oblivious to the fact that I think Violet is even upset with him.
What's happening in the grotto at the Chess Boy Mansion?
Oh, the old...
is there a three-way match going on, a three-way chess match?
Rook 2, pawns, queen 7.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. A couple of that.
The media's really fallen a hard time since the early 90s.
Yes, yes. So many documentaries about what used to go on at the old Chess Boy Mansion.
Don't act like you wouldn't watch like three of those.
One's on Netflix, one's on Hulu, and the other's on Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon. Just a disgrace that they don't have a fire. Like, what if they had one, but like it's 10 times better? Then I would be like Team Bezos again.
They're waiting.
Yeah.
Okay. So Allison tries on the beret. And I mean, this is just really rubbing it in Violet's face that she's wearing the beret in front of Violet.
Yeah, Violet sees this game going the whole time. She doesn't know that Allison's not a student at this point, but she knows that Allison is after her man.
My wife would have killed both me and this reporter by now.
In general, do you think your wife in a scenario like would be more upset at the woman or at you?
It's a good question. I think both. I think she would be upset with both equally.
Yeah, I think for me, my wife would be completely indifferent towards the woman. She would probably feel bad for her.
Yeah.
She'd be like, oh, you're a loser. You're not even worth my time. And she'd just take care of me. Like, yeah. I don't think the woman would be the slightest concern. She'd be like, yo, you could have him. I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard for me to predict this, but I definitely do not think that my wife would like any of this.
What? Like Chess Boy magazine really moving in? What if there's no podcasting magazine, right?
Not that I know of. Maybe there might be.
That would be cool if you could be on the cover. You could be the centerfold of Podcast Person magazine.
Yeah. Would they call it Podcast Boy?
Not in 2019.
Nah,
they wouldn't.
I don't think so. Okay. So Allison almost walks out of the Max with the beret on her head. And Zach's like, hey, where are you going? Where are you going with that beret? Screech needs it. And he gives it back to Screech. And Screech says, oh, okay, good. I'll go hide it in my locker.
Yeah. She also rejects Zach. She Matumbos him right here.
Right. Which, I mean, are her guys from the valley that, I mean, I know Zach Morris is a sociopath, but I mean, she just, I guess it probably would give up her cover if she, you know, had a thing for Zach Morris.
Yeah. But when he breaks up with her in a couple scenes, like she should go after Zach. But I guess maybe the hatred between Valley and Bayside is too strong that you could date someone from the other side.
Yeah, she can't get over it. Okay, so we see the girls in the locker room, and we see Violet, and she looks upset, and all of the women are going to go console her, but oh no, Violet is not sad. She's angry. She has written, Screech is a slime. Akiva, yes. That this was a prophecy. Tori Spelling wrote, Screech is a slime on the locker.
Oh, man. I didn't even put that together. That's crazy. And is a slime is like a strange, you know, way to say it also, right?
Is that the name of her daughter's slime company, Screech is a Slime?
That would be hilarious. I wonder if anybody's ever pointed that out to her.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Somebody should bring that up in the court case. Your Honor, I just want to point to season 3, episode 7 of Saved by the Bell. Get out of my courtroom. I don't know why Judge Judy is the judge in this case.
Yeah. No, I love this. Screech is a slime.
Yeah. So they're the women, they have a weird take on this, Keeve, and I want to know if this holds up in 2019. The girls are trying to say, like, hey, it's not Screech's fault. It's this girl that's trying to get, like, she's like, no, it's Screech. I'm mad at Screech. And her friends are saying, like, no, don't be mad at the man. Be mad at the temptress. Yeah. She's a Delilah.
Women should be supporting women. Yeah, no, yes. Violet is woke and these girls suck.
Yeah. They're trying to say, no, it's not him. She came on to Screech. He can't help it.
Yeah. I mean, he is a moron. Like, they are right. He can't help it. He is too stupid to know what's up, but still.
Yeah. All right. So Violet is going to come for Screech.
Yeah. They're in the hallway. Really, I think basically other than that locker room, we're just in the hallway, the Max and the gym in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
There really are only like four or five sets, right? Delding's office. Like, there's not a lot of sets.
But the women try to they convince her, give him another chance. Maybe this is a misunderstanding.
We have a little bit of a set piece here also where Screech is trying out different bathing suits for the Chess Boy Mansion.
The Chess Boy Mansion. So he doesn't know which one he should wear. He's holding two in his hands. He says, should I wear this one? Should I wear this one? Or then he pulls down his pants to reveal a third option.
Yes. Yeah, big laughs. And then Mr. Belding says he should wear the blue ones.
Why was Mr. Belding in such a good mood? He's like dancing through the hallways.
Yeah, Belding is really hot and cold. There's some episodes where he's just a real disciplinarian and some episodes where he's happy. Obviously, he gets mad when he realizes two of the only students in his school have tortured and kidnapped a rival school student for the sake of the chess team. But at this point, he's in a good mood in the episode.
He's in a pretty good mood. Okay. And ultimately, that Screech is oblivious that Violet is upset that he has his eyes. He can only think about the chess boy pool party. He makes her very upset. And ultimately, that she, what does she do?
She storms off, but the guys get a note.
Bad news. We got rooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Did they say that?
I think they said that. Yeah. They got rooked, and they have gotten now a photo of the girl from Valley with the Valley guys, and they're wearing Screech's beret. And he says, no, that's impossible. I put it in my locker.
Mm-hmm.
But earlier in the episode, that Allison, the reporter, was standing by his locker. So she knew how to get in.
Yeah, right. Yeah. She saw that his locker is not locked. We got the beret, so pay up today.
Right. So they want the $300 now before they even play the chess match?
Yeah, it seems like a weird, like there's no way Zach and AC Slater are going to agree to this, right? Like there's, like just because they, like, so he's a slight favorite now, Krishnev or whatever his name is, like there's no way they're giving you the money, unless it's a ransom for the beret. Maybe that's how they justify kidnapping the Russian kid soon.
Now, for Zach and Slater, I feel like that they have so much money tied up in t-shirts, berets, photos. I feel like that just the $300 to get the beret back is a worthwhile investment.
I mean, you don't give in to terrorism, though, Rob.
I guess, what are they going to say? That, like, oh, no, now it's $400 if you bring the money?
Yeah, no, these guys, like, you can't trust them. They might not even give it back. It might be a fake beret. You can't really go with what they're saying.
I guess so. So Screech is down in the dumps they stole the beret. He'll never win. And Screech is all sad. But don't worry, Zach Morris, ever the sociopath, he has a plan. They are going to give him a new beret. Keeve, well, would you ever attempt something like this with a deceased pet?
Sure, why not? I think this is the move. Like, I would notice if we had, if like I lost the hat and then my wife gave me a hat that was 90% the same, I would never notice.
Yeah, they're gonna pawn it off on him, a fake hat.
I think he buys it, right? It's just someone tells him that it's fake, right? Yes.
This is very similar to the Seinfeld plot point. I'm not sure which came first. I guess the Seinfeld version came after, where George leaves the Sable hat behind. Then we have to bring in Bob Sacamano for the rat hats.
Yes, the rat hat.
Yes.
That definitely happened after Seinfeld. That's from the chicken roaster.
Yes. So the Bob Sacamano berets end up coming out, and Screech, ever the idiot, is completely duped.
Again, the world's dumbest, like, he's either the world's dumbest smart person or the smartest moron, Screech.
Yeah. And so Screech is all excited. He's got the beret. And then Zach is also going to be selling the berets to other people, which is also, I think, I guess that since Screech is such a moron that they can dupe him with this. But I think that Screech, you would think that he would say, like, wait, hold on a second. Why does everybody have a beret now?
Yeah, no, he doesn't ask that. And also, like, after this chess tournament, when I'm assuming the chess season's over in like 20 minutes, why would anybody want one of these berets? Like, it's going to be a real impulse purchase that you regret soon.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of that goes on.
Yeah.
All right. So Screech runs into Violet, who's unhappy with him. And he's like, no, don't you understand? I got the beret back.
By the way, my notes, we said it already, but I did. My notes here literally said Zach and Slater jealous they didn't think of Fyre Festival first.
Yeah, I came to that same conclusion.
But should we write like a fanfic where they do like a Fyre Festival?
Yeah,
but
it's yes, like, no, not even a fanfic. We should write a Saved by the Bell spec script where Zach and Slater throw the Fyre Festival. Zach is Billy McFarlane. Is Ja Rule play Ja Rule?
You think he's available, Ja Rule?
I think so.
Ja Rule, by the way, other than like not doing these interviews and coming off exceptionally poorly, like literally the F. Jerry guys and Billy McFarlane come off better than Ja Rule. At least they speak. You know, he only has like 200,000 followers on Twitter. Like, why is he an influencer? He's really not that famous.
He's got a name.
He does, but I feel like, you know, he might be past his prime Ja Rule.
I said this on another podcast on News AF when we were talking about this. I feel like that Ja Rule, I feel like that he, I don't hold him very responsible.
I don't think so either. I think he should have spoken. I think he should have, like, given interviews, because I agree. It clearly wasn't his thing. He was the cachet in adding the name.
Yeah.
I don't blame him, but I do think at a certain point there's a good chance he knew that this wasn't going to happen, and I don't even think he was there. Like, I think he, if I remember correctly, because I followed this very closely when it was happening in real time, I believe, like, he did, he went to, like, a concert in New York City that night. Like, I don't even think he was at the Fyre Festival. Meaning he probably right. knew it wasn't happening and didn't want to be there.
Yeah, I think it's like a lot of these, like, these athletes that do, like, a celebrity endorsement. Like, they don't know what they're endorsing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he was in the meetings. That's the problem.
Ja Rule was like taking detailed notes in the meetings. Like,
I mean, if he was a better businessman, he would have. Like, Ja Rule is clearly in the meetings in the Netflix documentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Chuck Klosterman definition of the villain is the person who knows the most and does the least. And I don't think that you could argue to me that Ja Rule knew the most about how
he's not the villain.
Together.
For sure not. That's Billy. Billy is the villain. Yes. I agree.
Yes.
There's really nobody like, other than a couple side characters, there's not a lot of likable people at the higher ups of the Fyre Festival. By the way, it's funny because a lot of people watched it and was like, ooh, this is something I would have gone to. It would be my nightmare. I couldn't, whatever these people were paying, $20,000 for a villa, if you paid me $20,000 to go to the Fyre Festival, I wouldn't have gone.
If it was like what it was supposed to be, it would have been a nightmare for
me. Yeah, right. To me, that would have been the worst weekend of my life.
The worst case scenario, right.
Yeah, like if I got there and there was a tent, I would have walked straight into the ocean. If I was like, oh, I'm sleeping in a tent and I pay, like, forget it. No more.
Yeah, honestly, like, just going and being in a tent by myself, I feel like that would have been fine. I think being at a giant music festival seems like a worst case scenario for me.
The porta potties, the bad music, like, if you're lucky, Blink-182 shows up. Like, these people, like, they fell for a scam, but even best case scenario was an absolute nightmare.
Yeah. Okay. So we see that Screech is now, he has learned that he has a fake beret. Violet says, no, the real beret has initials on it. You got duped. Mm-hmm. And Screech is despondent.
Yeah, if he was a good boyfriend, he would have known that she put her initials in also.
He's not a good boyfriend.
It's so weird to put her initials, like, if you gave your wife a present and then, like, put RC on like, inside the cuff or something. Like, that's weird,
put her initials on it?
That makes more sense than yours. Like, nobody wears, like, fancy guys wear, like, their initials on shirts or whatever. Mm-hmm. They don't wear their wife's initials or vice versa. Like, it's not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nobody wears other people's initials. Now, except when it comes to tattoos, you don't get your own name, right? You get somebody else's name tattooed on.
Yeah, I think it could go either way. This one didn't bother me.
By the way, speaking of Wilson Chandler, do you know who he is? He used to be on the Knicks.
No.
He's a basketball player. He's like an okay. He's injured a lot. He's like a very good player off the bench towards the end of his career. Now he has a tattoo of his daughter's face that, like, creeps really far up his neck. I just noticed it for the first time the other day. It's very scary. Like, you're staring at him, and when he has a jersey on, you see, like, he just has a baby's face on his neck.
Yeah, that's creepy.
It's creepy. Google Wilson Chandler's freaking tattoo. It's awful. Mm-hmm. No offense. I'm sure it's a cute kid, but man, that is a wild tattoo. May as well get it on your face at that point, if it's going to be on your neck.
I guess so. A face on a face is weird, though.
Face on a face is weird. I do think, like, if you're Wilson Chandler, you're going to have to wear, like, move somewhere. If he ever needs to get a desk job, he's going to have to move somewhere where it's cold. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to show up at the interview with, like, a tattoo on your neck like that.
Probably
face.
Not.
They're going to distract the interviewer.
Slater and Zach Morris are in a bind now. They're going to lose the bet. So there's only one thing left to do. They find the Russian guy. And they say that he needs to go for his pregame photo, and they bring him into a janitor closet, and they beat the crap out of him.
Yes.
And
it's one of these very 80s and 90s cartoon style, like, the door moves a little bit, like, he's moving.
And they take his clothes.
Yes.
And somehow also find a wig. That's the exact wig of his hair in that closet.
I mean, this is an incredibly elaborate plan that has clearly cost more than the $300 they're trying to win. Also, did you notice that there's a janitor's room sign, like, engraved sign on the door, and they switched it out with a press room sign? They had to go make an engraved sign. This was like if he ever if they got prosecuted, this is clearly premeditated. Like, they had to go to a store and make a press room sign to slide into the door.
Yes. so that they could now have Zach Morris pretend to be the Russian guy, all to win this.
Correct. Game. Yes.
And so now Zach comes out, and this is a convincing version of this guy.
Yeah, actually very good. And also, remember, he's an exchange student. He may have never been in the school because he might be fake. So, that you know, there's a reason why maybe the kids don't know that he's fake.
Yeah.
It's possible he doesn't actually attend Valley.
It's very possible. It could be a ringer. Not the ringer.
Or it could be not the ringer. But it also could be like he's been in school a week and nobody knows what he is. And nobody was comfortable. Like, hey, I think that kid's fake. That would be a weird thing to say if you're... You have to be 100% sure. Like, if someone walked over, you're like, hey, you're fake. Like, that you have to be 100% sure when you're going with that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So there's Russian fake students also?
It's possible.
Okay.
This show is prescient.
So they bring Zach out as the Russian guy. Slater now has to take Zach's role of calling the game on or calling the chess match on KKTY radio. And Slater has some hot takes, but he comes out and says, like, hey, Screech is going to kick this commie's butt.
Yeah. I wrote, is Jesse Spano a Bernie bro? I'm not sure why, what the context was, but I wrote that down in my notes.
I'm not sure that if we were going to take a BuzzFeed quiz of which 2020 candidate for the Democratic primary would Jesse Spano support?
She might be Tulsi Gabbard, to be honest. By the way, Jesse Spano knows a lot about chess. She's like calling all the moves and saying what they are. She's a very knowledgeable chess fan.
Yes, she knows. She knows her stuff. So she tells Slater, no, you can't say that. Hey, this is the 90s. You can't say kick that commie's butt. And Slater says, oh, I'm sorry about that. He's going to kick this commie's hiney.
Yeah, I thought he was going to say keister. That was a big like early 90s word also.
Yes. So Mr. Belding, he opens up the match. Does he give a kiss to the student, the Russian exchange student?
Wouldn't shock me. I don't think so, but it's possible.
Yeah. Again, he's in a very good mood in this episode, Mr. Belding.
Yeah. Until right now.
Yeah. And so ultimately, Zach doesn't even know how to play chess, even though he was the commentator on the radio for.
It's very confusing why Zach doesn't just let Screech beat him.
Yeah.
Because Screech will beat him in like 7 or 8 moves. It's crazy that Zach starts playing checkers and like moving his piece 10 times.
I don't think Zach knows how to move the pieces.
Yeah, you're right. I guess he just doesn't know enough to even move. Right. I guess it's if you never looked at a chessboard before, it does make sense that you wouldn't know what to do.
But somehow he was the color commentator on the radio broadcast of the chess tournament.
I've watched the NFL my entire life. Some of these guys don't know the rules either.
Okay. Somehow.
After he's better than Chris Spielman already, even though he doesn't know the rules of chess.
Zach surrenders. He says he's too good. Can't beat
You're
him.
Too
can't
good. Beat him. It's just very unrealistic.
But now here comes the original Russian guy who is tied up and he hops out onto the stage.
Yeah.
And in true Scooby-Doo fashion, Mr. Belding is going to come over and then unmask. Let's find out who the real Russian is.
Mm-hmm.
It was Zach Morris.
Yes, it is Zach Morris. It's amazing that Mr. Belling didn't recognize him, actually. Like, it's not crazy that the Valley kids didn't recognize that the Russian was fake. It's crazy the Bayside kids, that nobody realized that it was Zach Morris.
Yes. Hey, isn't that the most popular kid in school?
One of the only 8 kids in the whole school.
That's usually...
Oh, you mean the captain of the basketball, baseball, football, chess, radio, glee club.
Homecoming king.
Literally everything. Yeah. Homecoming king. Only interest of the popular girls, best friend of the principal who has immediate access to his office at all times.
Yes.
That guy? Oh, yeah. No. Didn't recognize him.
Yeah.
Don't have any classes with him.
Okay. And so the Belding is like, that's it. This whole match is off. And we say, oh, no, we only did it for the Bayside school. And so he's like, that's it. We're done here. But they say, Mr. Belding, could they just play if it's just for... the chess match. No betting on this game.
Mr. Belding, he says that the tournament is over, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the penalty for kidnapping somebody else is that a third person has to forfeit a high school chess tournament.
That's right.
That's the penalty.
Yes.
No penalty for Zach or Slater, but the Screech is chess tournament is canceled. That makes
sense. That's right.
Okay.
But they're going to let them play as long as the Russian guy can have his pants back.
Yeah, that's a fair deal.
Okay. And so Allison, now she's like, hey, you guys aren't getting $300. I'm out of here. You guys are broke.
Yeah. So now she was only interested in being with them if they had $300. Ostensibly, they were going to split it three ways.
Mm-hmm.
But she was only interested in her boyfriend if he somehow got $100.
Yeah. And so we get to the chess match. We really yada yada this. Screech wins.
Yes. I think the episode realized at a certain point they were out of time, which is why the Zach match, he just like, yada, da, 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 da. Like, they have no time left for the actual chess.
Yes. And so even though Zach Morris did not win the bet, he's got another mm-hmm. plan up his sleeve. He's going to start to market Screechio's cereal.
Yeah. Next cereal tournament, Screechio's.
That's right. And that's
no
it.
Joke. I would pay like $100 if Screechio's were real for a box of Screechio's.
Why?
I don't know. It'd be funny.
Dustin Diamond is a real unsavory character.
Yeah, I know. That is a problem. Yeah, I was reading some behind the scenes stuff people sent us. And all the, you know, like Elizabeth Berkley and Tiffany Amber Thiessen, they say, like, everyone dated everyone except Screech, who was, by the way, much younger. So it would have been illegal or at least very inappropriate for most of the run of the show for anybody to date him. But like, I think Zach probably dated all three and Slater's probably dated all three. But Dustin Diamond was not involved and they don't appear to really care for him.
Yeah, he has a don't Google any Dustin Diamond
Google
stuff.
Dustin Diamond. That's
don't,
right.
Don't do it. Don't do it. He wrote the tell-all book that got turned into the TV movie, which was there was another point in time where there used to be a lot of like Lifetime unauthorized TV movies.
Did you do a podcast about that also?
I did also. Okay. Now, I believe that this was a question that was asked either on this podcast. I think it was on this podcast. What was my best take or call that was ever made on a podcast that turned out to be true? Does that sound like something that we talked about?
No, I don't think we ever. What was it? I don't think we ever talked about that.
And so what? Ultimately, I think might have been was that in the podcast that I did about that Lifetime movie with Eric Stein, that there was a character that was that somebody made their debut in that film. And it was the actor who went on to play Jason in The Good Place.
And
he was a Screech's friend in that movie. I believe that was his television and film debut. And Eric Stein and I discussed that this person was making their debut as Screech's friend. And I said, watch out for this guy. He's going places.
You should call up that audio.
I have to
also
go back and find the clip, but I believe that's at least according to somebody that messaged me one time.
That's amazing.
That was sad.
I thought you were going to say like, oh, he's acting circles around everybody else. And he's like, he's actually going to become a star.
What? The Jason from The Good Place?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what we've said. This is his debut. This guy's got.
And since we've last mentioned The Good Place, like 15 episodes on the show, you've gotten into it, right?
I've watched the whole series. Yeah.
And it's great, right? You really like it?
Really like it. Third season, I did not like it.
Yeah,
much.
No, the third season is a schwach, as my people say.
They got to wrap it up.
I agree. Great.
They're going down the problem with
lost rabbit hole.
Yeah, lost rabbit hole. So I don't want to get people worked up. Okay. Kiva, anything else about Saved by the Bell?
No, I think we covered it. I'm happy we did this episode. I feel like the show gets worse every time I watch it, but it's kind of a delight. It's so bad, it's good. Like, there's a lot of meat on the bone to talk about with these episodes. I love Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. In talking about this season 3, episode 7, I don't want to be too, you know, self-referential in the actual podcast, that I kind of feel like that a show like this, that it almost felt like that we, you know, talked about the actual season 3, episode 7, and I feel like that this may have been more fun to talk about, you know, all things Saved by the Bell, as opposed to talk about just one particular episode. And I wonder if we get to a thing like Friends, where it's sort of like, or you know, another show that is so well known that if it's just, you know, boxed in terms of like, would we have had more fun to talk about, you know, a bunch of different crazy things that happened?
It's a little different because you've also done that. You've sort of done that podcast, right? So it's why I didn't really think of it. But I also think this episode is just like, a lot of the takes you have for any particular episode are pretty universal for Saved by the Bell also.
Okay. All right, Akiva, before we get to talking about the wheel, I want to tell you about the big game contest over at betonline.ag, sponsors of this podcast. And they've got the biggest and best contest around for next week's big game over at betonline.ag, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to the NFL's biggest game of the year next weekend. You heard that right, a weekend trip to the big game for two people. It's happening. How do you enter for a chance to attend the big game on February 3rd? Sign up today on betonline.ag for all the information. I'm not sure what kind of gift you got this holiday season, but we are betting, pun intended, that it's not going to be as good as a paid flight, paid hotel, VIP tailgate party, and tickets to the big game for you and a friend, a family member, or a significant other. I guess they're really leaving it up to you of your plus one. Could be any of those things, Keith.
No, so they're not deciding who we take. That's good.
Yes, yes. A plus one of your choice. Our exclusive partners at betonline.ag, they have the golden tickets, and this is your opportunity to place a bet on yourself. Don't miss out. Promotion ends on January 28th. Visit betonline.ag today for more information. Okay, Keith, let's talk about what we're going to put on the wheel for today's spin.
All right. So we also did promise that we would Marie Kondo the podcast this week, right? So we're going to clear. I will do the Mount Renatmore, which is the four best ideas sent in by the listeners. Where do they send them in, Rob?
That you can send them into needapodcast@robswebsite.com. You can send them into Seinfeld at post show recaps. What else?
RANAP, Renap at robswebsite.com.
Sure,
also.
Sure. Any of those things. Any of those things. Okay.
All right. So, but first, let's do Mount Renatmore and then we can Marie Kondo quickly and spin the wheel.
Remind me again, what is Mount Renatmore?
It's the best four things that are sent in every week. I'm only going to read the best four ideas, and they're on Mount Renatmore.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah, there's a very complicated, lingo that you really have to keep track with here that is only in my head.
Yeah.
All right. The idea number one, the mystery episode.
Okay.
I'm going to give you an idea off air, and then if you like it, you could put it on the wheel.
Okay. Why is this particular episode considered the mystery episode?
Someone had the idea for a mystery episode without specifying what we should do. And I thought this is probably, a fun idea that people would like, but doesn't really need audience participation. So I think this is the right podcast to do it with. It's nothing that's, groundbreaking, but I think it'll be fun for this to be the mystery episode.
So if the mystery episode comes up, do we reveal to the audience what the mystery episode is at the time of the wheel spin, or they just have to listen to an episode called
when they listen
the mystery
to it,
episode?
It'll be called the mystery episode.
Okay. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good.
All right. So so are we putting it on the wheel? Because I have, spoiler, already told you the idea.
Okay. Yes. I have a greenlit mystery idea.
All right. Well, then put it on the wheel.
Okay, so mystery idea, we have to say now, welcome to the wheel.
Okay, idea number two.
Yes.
This is the Roosevelt of the ideas. Wait, Mount Rushmore is what, Washington, Roosevelt,
don't ask
Lincoln?
Me.
I don't know either. And one of the Adamses, maybe? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Obama, Trump, I'm not sure. The masked podcaster, this is James' idea.
All right.
The masked podcaster, masked singer taking over the country with Z-list celebrities that nobody knows even if they're after they've been unmasked and people pretend like they know they are.
Masks off. They're like, who is this?
Honestly, that's a good game. I'm a huge football fan. I don't know if I'd know Antonio Brown by face. A lot of the people who've been unmasked, the celebrities are only pretending to know. And also, if they ever guessed who it was, they would never air that in the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they'd never say the name of the person.
I saw the one with Tommy Chong, and I think they were guessing. Is it Cheech Marin?
I didn't know who he was also, Tommy Chong, when he got out. None of them. I didn't know any of them, other than maybe Bradshaw, because he has a very distinct voice and has been on TV for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. By the way, also weird. Two Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Out of, four people. All right. So, the Mass Podcaster. So, Shut Up Tim.
Might only be one Pittsburgh Steeler by next season.
Ooh, hopefully. Hopefully be on the Jets. The Masked Podcaster, basically the idea would be people would Shut Up Tim said he would take the reins here, where he would ask a series of questions to podcasters whose voices would be obscured, and we would try and guess who they were based on those questions.
So are they in the RHAP universe?
I think so. Are we getting Joe Rogan for this? Now, it doesn't have to be the Masked Podcaster. It could be the Masked Anything. But I think, what if it was podcasters in the RHAP universe and we were guessing who they were?
How is their voice being obfuscated to us?
Gary Sinise Ransom style.
Hmm.
Shut Up Tim said he would do this.
Seems like a lot of work for one podcast episode.
Yeah, but it's not on us. I think we realized last week, like, Antonio did a lot of research. The work was not us. We just sat and listened and talked.
Mm-hmm.
That's that, you know, it's the episodes where the other person's doing the work are great. So if Shut Up Tim is agreeing to do the work,
mm-hmm.
then so I'm fine with it.
Here are just a couple of my questions and concerns. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That do we have listeners to the podcast? What percentage of this podcast are listeners who have been listeners from the Seinfeld days, but may not be versed in the rest of the RHAP universe?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question.
It's not zero.
It's not zero. It's definitely some. And then there's, you know, people who you know, listen for whatever reason. I don't know how big this percentage is. And by the way, let us know if you're this person, because I think it would be useful. You tweeted us or something like, hey, I don't know who the RHAP podcasters are. So that like that's there's no reveal. But I will say, Rob, that last week we had a similar idea, which was the Royal Rumble, which we can talk about at some point.
Yeah.
And you have the same problem where if you were not familiar with the other podcasters, at least you and I in theory are in that rumble, but you might not be familiar with any of those names. You're probably familiar with like all 30 or just two based on if you're a diehard RHAP fan or not, but it's the same idea, right? It's mm-hmm. like, who are these people in the Royal Rumble? And that idea would, by the way, was met with as much enthusiasm as anything we've ever mentioned. Like there was a lot of people very excited about it.
Oh, people.
And also about five. Also, two other people said, hey, Akiva, like, you're a bum. I wrote in, and I
apologize. Okay, well, let's go back to the Rumble after this. And,
okay, fine.
So, I think it's interesting, but I just don't, mm-hmm. like, where it's like, so there's a clip, and it's like, the clue is that it's like, I want to be on a lot of different podcasts.
Right.
And then we guess,
Right. And we guess who it is. And then I guess, are they with us?
But yeah, I mean, I don't want to schedule, a podcast recording time when, 12 right. people can record.
Correct. So I would say Shut Up Tim needs to come out, if he really wants to do this, with a more elaborate, a more detailed plan of how this would work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, are they pre-recording when we guess? Are they just pre-recording and we're just playing like, it was me. It was Mike Bloom all along.
I'm not out on this, but guests. I need more information.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to put it in the wheel waiting room. I agree. I think it's a fun idea.
Let's go back to the Rumble. Because I was very excited about this last week. Now, my biggest question was mm-hmm. on, and I don't know. I know that you are very well connected with the listeners, the podcasters. Did you talk to any of the female podcasters about if they wanted to be included in this?
I didn't ask anybody, but we did sort of get a big update. A bunch of people DM'd me and said, I'm in. Nobody said I'm out, but I certainly didn't speak to all 30 people.
This
but
is a bunch of opt in that for people. But according to
we're not up to that yet because So Brent was the original person who sent this in. Grace had sent this in earlier, I think, and on Facebook she mentioned, and I missed it. But I spoke to both of them, and they both pointed out that you need to. You can't have intergender fighting in the traditional WWE wrestling video game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't have a Royal Rumble with men and women.
Right.
Brent said there is a way to, without getting technical at all, because I didn't understand one word he said, where some emulator, something or other, where it's possible people have done it. There are YouTube videos where he could do it. He sort of knows how to do it. He'd probably just need to borrow a friend's PlayStation to do it.
Okay. So do we trust that he would be able to pull this off? Because it sounds like
Think we can't add it to the maybe we shouldn't even add it until it's done, because once it's done, he just has the clip. He'll send it to us when comes up on the wheel.
So
but I almost think we should wait. So here's the other question.
Right.
The other question people said is, well, if the WWE noted, sort of paragons of virtue don't allow intergender wrestling in their video game, should Robin Akiva allow it?
Hmm.
Like, should Josh Wiggler be giving Haley Strong a Stone Cold Stunner?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's okay. So that's
problematic. That's fair. And okay, I don't know the answer. Again, it's a fake game. I'm personally not offended. I think the people suggested it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know.
Right.
So, it's a fake game, and it's not even the real people. It's a picture of their face on the person.
So, all right. So here is my modest proposal. Can we do the Royal Rumble, but with something else that is not people that are from the Rob's podcasting universe? Is there?
Well, I don't know. Should we give up on the idea? Like, I think it was a really good idea. I think maybe we should do it. We just have to. The other question is, should we just flip a coin and either do a men rumble or a lady rumble, depending on what comes up?
I kind of feel like that. If I love the idea of doing the rumble, is there something where, you know, hypothetically, you know, that there was that thing of like, what would happen if the 45 presidents had got into a knife fight? Like, if we had something like that, where we would be able to,
you want to do the presidents pick like cast like 30 presidents.
I don't want to do the presidents.
Okay. Cause that is a good idea, by the way.
Right.
What if you cut it off at like Nixon? So that's like no modern politics.
Right. So, okay. I don't know. Like, is there some way to do the rumble that is, you know, I love the idea, because I watched a couple of these like fake rumbles where I was like, it was like Batman was fighting Kanye and like a lot of great stuff like that. I think that would be very fun. But any of these issues that we have with, you know, men are fighting women or.
Yeah, but I don't know. Can people like sort of write in and let us know, like, if no one cares, then I think we should still do it. I don't think we should give up on the idea that quickly, because people were very excited about the idea. And not one person was like, well, I don't want to see Ali Lasher, you know, kick Kirk Clark in the groin. Like, I don't know. And then throw him out of the ring. Like, I don't know.
No, I think people would want to see that. I think that when, you know,
no offense, Kirk. Kirk is our favorite. So he, you know, people want to see that. I think maybe we should sit on it for a week and let's see, because if he's willing to make it. The rumble. And by the way, it'll take a lot of time. He's got to put pictures of everybody facing a certain direction. Like, it will take Brent or whoever's doing it or people helping him, you know, not a short amount of time just to create all the characters. Also,
you know, this is the thing where I think it's fun up until we're watching you give sweet chin music to Haley Strong that we're saying, oh, maybe this was not as fun.
I mean, it's like a fake character, though. It's you know what I mean?
Yeah. Look,
Haley Strong would probably rock me anyway.
Look, a lot of people are going to be fine with it, but I feel like that we're walking into a minefield.
What if we just do a single gender wrestling Royal Rumble? What's the problem there?
Well, I don't know. I've been doing this long enough to know that I don't always know where the problems lie.
Yeah, I'm saying, what if we flip a coin? It's men or it's women. Mm-hmm. But and you know the next if it's a hit, then the second time we'll do the other one, right?
Right. So I don't know. I don't know, but I still want to do a rumble. I mean, at this point, like, is it the 86 Mets or something? Like, what are we
Nobody's
doing?
Nobody's going to care. I mean, that's just for us at that point. We may as well not make it into a podcast. We'll just talk offline.
I wonder, should we then have fictional characters then? Should it be then if we're watching
like all the Renap All-Stars or something?
Either the Renap All-Stars or some version of, you know, if it was like hypothetically like what we did with the greatest TV characters in the Royal Rumble.
Okay. Why don't we submit, solicit ideas? What people, would you rather hear just the RGP women or just the RGP men? Or would you rather, and then give us, you know, idea X and send an idea. And whichever idea we like, maybe next week we'll put on the wheel.
Right.
Okay.
We need like a ombudsman. Is that the right term?
Yes. We do need an ombudsman for this podcast. Yes. That is true.
And then they could say like, no, we vetted this. There is no way that this can be a problem. And
by the way, that was in my notes. We're really on the same page, because I had in my notes from a few weeks ago, I never said it, that we need a podcast ombudsman. The first podcast to have an ombudsman.
Yes.
Because also, like, the listeners are like, hey, you know, Kiva, you know, couldn't credit with my idea. Well, that's what the ombudsman would come in and be like, yep, person was right, Akiva was wrong, or vice versa. Like, Rob was right, the listener was wrong.
Right.
So who would be the podcast ombudsman, though?
Well, people should write in if they say, hey, I want that job. And then, because we also get from people like, hey, you guys are being a bunch of babies, just do the rumble.
Right.
Like, hey, look, our ombudsman said we can't do it, okay?
Right, yeah, and that could be sort of your Pineapple Boy, which if people don't know, Pineapple Boy is a Twitter account that Rob has that you sent all your complaints to Pineapple Boy. Yeah, negative complaints sent to him and not to Rob. So that person could get the brunt of the abuse from listeners. Not, I mean, everything we do is perfect, nobody ever complains, but if for whatever reason we finally take our first misstep and people are mad, they can just, you know, should it be Chester? Like, I don't know who the ombudsman should be, but
Yeah.
You know,
I wonder, do we, if we did the single gender podcast host rumble, like, do we need to have, would we need to do a men's rumble and a women's rumble, where I feel like that if we just,
yeah, we could also do two in one. Now, yes. Now, would it be less fun by the second one, whichever the second one was? Possibly. But I think
maybe
that's the answer.
Though, because the ones I watched on YouTube were like 29 minutes.
All right, then that's fine. And also, I mean,
What if we did
one for the podcast? Then we just, like, if we thought it was overkill, we only included the better one on the podcast, possibly, like, whichever one ended up being funnier.
Honestly, like, I was surprised how short they actually were.
Okay, so maybe
on the simulation.
But also, if we're splitting men and women, we also don't need 30 people in each. We could probably cut it down to like 20 or 25.
Is that a possibility? Could you do it with less
people?
Yeah.
Yes, I believe you can. I'm 99% sure.
20-person men's rumble, 20 women's rumble.
I will say, Rob, I got a lot of requests from people to be in the rumble, including some who I like wouldn't have, like, I wouldn't have thought of it, but, you know.
Okay, and now, look, don't maybe we could fill it out.
Yeah, maybe. But also don't, like, fill my DMs with, like, hey, can I be in the rumble? I've never been on a podcast before. once you've heard this episode. If you already did it, kudos to you, but... all right, I'm going to count that as one of the Mount Renat more spaces, because we've already spent
again,
a long time.
I don't know how much work it is to create a person for the Rumble, where, like, is it, you know,
but
3 weeks of
that's
work freaking to build Brent, Josh Wiggler into the Rumble?
Yeah, maybe. He's just so buff. You got to build those muscles. But yeah, Brent will work on that, and maybe Brent will get
give
an assistant
us an update
or
for next week.
Okay. All right. So idea number three, I'm counting that as number two.
Mm-hmm.
Tom says, Robin Akiva write the RHUP pilot.
Okay.
Robin Akiva discuss how to adapt the RHUP podcast into either a TV show, or it could be a movie. It could be RHUP the movie. And
is
work
it
on
the
writing the first
RHAP
episode.
RHAP movie, or is it RANAP movie?
No, I think it's RHAP. We're writing the RHAP. I don't think anybody cares about the RANAP pilot. I don't think we're that established yet.
Okay.
So we're writing sort of either the pilot, RHAP the pilot, or I think RHAP the movie is a funnier title. Especially since there's only going to be one episode. Does RHAP the movie interest you?
So I think this is a fun idea.
Yeah.
But I feel like that it could be a dud podcast where
almost certainly.
Yeah. Me and you
are we improving it, or are we getting a Frail Mary type to
Mike White?
Ooh, do you think he would do it for us?
Definitely
free
not.
Of charge? I don't know if the union will let him do it. If we got a listener to agree to write the RHP the movie, and then we just did the voices and maybe had like a guest help us with the voices.
Yeah. So one, is this too similar to the Frail Mary Robin Akiva fan fiction?
I don't even think she's listening anymore. I think I think once we cast Kirsten in the Riverdale role, she's out. I haven't heard from her in a while.
She had tweeted at one point that she was in.
Yeah, she was working on it. But listen, it's like the Use Your Illusion. What's the Guns N' Roses album that never came out, and then it came out and nobody cared?
I think Use Your Illusion did come out. Yeah,
something like that.
So, I just don't want to have the same exact thing on there. So if for whatever reason Mary is out, we're not doing the fan fiction.
Yeah, let us know, Mary, if you're listening. If you're not listening, then you're probably also not working. And also, by the way, and if you are working on it, like, maybe this is a good idea to pivot the RHP pilot. Maybe that's what she was doing to begin with, and I don't remember what we told her to do.
Yeah, but if there is a talented or available screenwriter that would want to take on the RHAP available movie.
Because I love the idea. RHAP the movie sounds like a fun podcast.
Yeah. So then they could come on and then they could, read us the treatment for the RHAP movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then
so
we'll
that's
give
idea
notes.
Number
so we'll give notes.
Yeah. So RHAP the movie, we'll put that in the wheel waiting room. With the Royal Rumble. The mystery show is on the wheel already. All right. Last idea. Rob and Akiva need a podcast female reboot. No Rob, no Keeve. Any or all of the excellent female RHP hosts take over and pull a ping pong ball and discuss whatever show episode comes up.
So we're not in this episode?
We're not in the episode. Light lifting for us that
week. Is it if all female reboot of Rob and Akiva need a podcast? Like, is there a woman that's like named Roberta that's me? And then
do you think we need to do an RNA? Do we have an RNA
woman? Is it a reboot, or are we just like absent for a day?
Absent for a day. It's not a full reboot. I guess it's a backdoor pilot. If people love it, they could have their own show. But it's not a reboot, right? It's sort of a not a crossover episode. It's a one episode. Robin and Akiva have the week off, and it's like Jessica, Lisa, and Lita have a podcast or something.
I mean, if there was ever a week that we couldn't do it, I feel like that's fine. But it feels weird to just say, like, okay, we're off next week. So now here's women hosting the show instead of us.
So what if you wanted to take, let's say, like 2 months from now, you're like, Akiva, I'm swamped this week. I can't do it. Then should we like, all right, let's call in the reserves. Let's do the female reboot.
Sure. I think that if there was ever a week that we couldn't do it, and there were and when there were women who volunteered that they were interested in that assignment,
that might be a problem. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Then I'm okay with that.
But it would be a season 3, episode 7, I think.
Whatever the idea was. We would,
I would love if they did our JT, like something like JTT, where I don't have to do the work. That would be great if that's what came up on the wheel.
Right, right. Like, I would feel bad for them if they got like Leprechaun 2.
Yeah, that would be funny. That would be actually, that would be pretty good.
So,
all right, fine. So that's the end of Mount Renatmore for the week. But I think we have to quickly Marie Kondo the wheel and the fishbowl. So
We're Marie Kondoing the wheel.
Well, I had... We're anything that doesn't spark joy, we're going to Marie Kondo. So it's mostly going to be the fishbowl, but I had one. Is there one thing on the wheel that you want to Marie Kondo? Because I have one thing I want to discuss.
Okay. I mean, nothing jumps out at me. The CSI New York, I vetoed it at one point, but I'm not like mad at it.
No, it'll be fine. If that's what comes up this week, I'll be fine. And we also rebranded to Robin Akiva Salva Murder, which I think helps things.
Okay.
The Price is Right to me. What is that episode? What are we going to do? We're going to guess what the fridge costs, but nobody's looking at the fridge. And then once they get on the stage, how are we playing Plinko? Mm-hmm. How exactly are we playing along? I thought it was a funny idea at the time, but now I'm thinking that what is that episode? It's nothing.
I'm fine with taking it off.
Okay. Bye-bye, Price is Right.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I just like, it sounded good, but now I think about it. I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah, sometimes we get caught up in the moment.
Yeah, but you know what it is also? Now that we've been doing this for 20 weeks, I think the listeners are also getting smarter. Like, the quality of ideas this week was very high. Like, I do think they know what we want, and they're sort of, they're stepping up to the plate. Whereas week 4, we're like, whatever. If it's not garbage, let's put it on the way. All right, here's how I wanted Marie Kondo the fishbowl quickly, okay?
Okay.
There are, and I'll send you the list right now, because I don't think you have the list of the stuff in the fishbowl.
I have the fishbowl in front of me. I could just pull the stuff out of the fishbowl, and then you tell me toss it or leave it.
I don't think that's how we should. We can do that, but I was thinking
Have you read The Magical Power of Tidying Up? Do you know how it works?
I don't know. I haven't seen the show. I sort of passive-aggressively mentioned to my wife we should watch it, but,
What'd she say?
I just think she called me an idiot and told me to blank myself. Like, I don't think...
The life-changing magic of tidying up. I've listened to the audiobook and watched the Netflix show.
Do you think it would help somebody who maybe likes to keep too much stuff?
Yeah.
But the problem is, like, wouldn't that person not want to read the book?
Well, they would not want to read it, but then you have to.
Yeah. What if that person also isn't a big reader?
Then they listen to the audiobook or watch the Netflix show.
Okay, fine. Fair. Okay, so here's what I thought. And if you could veto my idea,
she really could just have a YouTube video. It's really, there's a lot of filler for somebody who doesn't like extra stuff, you know.
Yeah, there's 25 shows right now, 24, 25 shows in the fishbowl.
Yes.
What I think we should do is we should basically do a quick draft where we take things out. So let's say I pick 4 shows and you pick 4 shows. And then I'll make 2 Twitter polls. And the fans can save 1 show each that I kicked out and that you kicked out.
Oh, okay.
Meaning we're each going to kick out 3 of the 4.
Okay. So,
and if you want to make it slightly more complicated, I don't think it's so complicated right now.
So when you say Marie Kondo the fishbowl, like, that is, to me, that's I am literally reaching my hand to the fishbowl, holding each ping pong ball in my hand, deciding that if I would be excited to podcast about this, and then if not, throwing it out. But this is something different.
We could do that too. See, I didn't know what Marie Kondo is. I just know that she cleans
stuff up.
No, that's
fine. Because I don't want that's fine. I like your idea better, because what I don't like is negative feedback. And I don't want to throw something out and then be like, why'd you throw that out?
But they'll have a chance to save it. If it's so beloved that they have a chance to save it.
Yeah, this is why.
And now, should we each have one veto also? Should we each get... Like, let's say you throw out something like, let's say last week you were going to throw out Saved by the Bell. And I'm like, Rob, I love Saved by the Bell. It's going to be a good podcast.
No, I don't. I think that the fishbowl is so rich that there's nothing that I would say, no, you can't do that, Kiva.
Okay. But and people think that the fishbowl is too overstuffed right now also.
Okay. All right. So let's did you send me the list of everything that's in here?
I did. I emailed you the list of the shows.
Might be a fish these things out. And what happens if
you don't actually have to fish them out now? Like, who cares? One day you pick something out and you're like, we actually kicked that out. We got to pick something different.
Okay. Well,
you don't have to like waste your time. Okay.
And then if season 3, episode 7 comes up today, which would be unlikely because it only has 2 spots on the wheel currently.
Yeah, these shows are ineligible until further notice.
Until further notice.
Yes, just for today. And it's unlikely, but for today, I will put a poll at KEEV, Keeve 26, and I'll put here's the 4 shows that Akiva picked out, save one, and here are the 4 shows that Rob picked out, save one, American Idol style. You could save one of the shows in the bottom.
Okay. All right. So, who has the first pick in the draft?
You decide. Do you want to do first or next two? It's your call.
Okay, I think I will take 2 and 3. Give you the first pick in the draft. So, okay. We're both picking 4 things to take out of the fishbowl.
Yes. Yeah, this is exciting. I love drafts.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to go with a Muppet show because I feel like there's been 5 Muppet shows and I don't even know what Muppet show we're talking about. I never saw it.
Okay. And so. Then can one of how about this? We can make the case to why it should stay.
What? And then I get a different pick?
No, because the fans are voting. The fans are voting to save one of these. They're going to save something from your list.
Who's making a case?
I would say season 3, episode 7 of The Muppet Show. I'm not sure who we said was hosting it. In my mind, it was Candace Bergen, but that might just be that.
Wait, there's a host? I didn't even, is it Saturday Night Live? I don't even know how The Muppet Show works now.
I thought that's how it works.
Oh.
I think we're doing like the 70s Muppet Show. I don't know where you can find it.
How about this? We spun the wheel this week. Next week, season 3, episode 7 of The Muppet Show. Are people excited or are people like, all right, that's a skip?
I think it would lead to a lot of conversation about the individual Muppets. I think there's a lot of skits.
And I don't know enough about the Muppets is my problem. I know nothing about the Muppets. I'd just be like, who's that guy?
I'm not sure it'd be so great. I would vote to save it. That would be one of the ones I would be excited to talk about.
Oh, boy. Okay. And that was my first pick. All right, Rob, you go second and third.
I think it would turn into a conversation of all things Muppets.
Okay. All right. Listen, I won't cry if any of these come up, but, you know, we might not be getting to the Muppet Show.
Okay. So I will say in terms of one to take off the fishbowl, I'm going to go with...
I could already tell I'm going to get mad.
I don't know how exciting Welcome Back, Kotter would be. I know you love Gabe Kapler.
What? Yeah. Gabe Kaplan.
I always get them confused. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but
they are both. They're both on the tribe. They're both Jewish.
Yes.
But Gabe Kapler is a baseball manager. Gabe Kaplan is a comedian and poker player.
Okay.
A poker player.
Yes. The Lake Rachel River. So I will take that with the first pick. And then.
All right. Please vote that back in. But yeah, keep going.
Riverdale, you want it there.
You don't have to pick 4. If you only want 2 or 3, you don't have to use all your draft picks. If there's nothing else you want to kick out.
We'll keep the draft going. I don't want to stop yet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else do you want to kick out?
Okay.
A lot of these are pretty strong.
No, it's your try. I just had
no, you get second and third.
Yeah. And then Cotter and Riverdale.
Oh, I didn't hear you say Riverdale.
Yes.
Oh, man. Direct shot fired at Kirsten McGinnis.
Look, then people should vote it back in.
The Kirstans are furious. Oh, my God.
Let people vote it back in.
And by the way, don't even get the Brillmaniacs upset and put Knockout Gilmore Girls. They will go insane.
Okay. All right.
The Brillmore Girls. All right. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? It was a fun idea. First, the video of it is kind of sketchy. Like, the actual video we'd have to watch isn't HD. And also, like, what are we going to do? We're going to guess geography? Like, it would be are you mad? Like, I won't kick
it
out.
I'm not mad. Okay. I think it might be fun, but, you know, I'd like to talk about the whole.
And by the way, these things aren't gone forever. They can earn their way back in.
Sure. But, okay. We'll take it out. Okay. You get another pick.
Yeah. And then I might not even make a fourth pick. I'm not sure. But my third pick is going to be, sorry, Edwin Johnson, but Sliders. I just don't. No one's going to care that week. I don't think anyone's going to care about Sliders.
I do like Sliders. Okay. What was season
3? And I don't like ordering Sliders in restaurants either, because it's not an appetizer and it's not a meal, but they're way too expensive.
What was the plot point? It could go either way.
It was wild. It was pretty. It was like dragons and stuff. It was pretty wild.
Dragons. Yeah.
And by the way, you could campaign for your show to come back on the fishbowl.
Yeah,
like he could, you know, like Kirsten or Edwin or any of these people could launch a major campaign to keep their show, you know, save Sliders.
Save Sliders. Okay.
Save, you know, where's Carmen? Not in the fishbowl anymore, baby.
I want to make sure that I have the pronunciation correct before.
Oh, no.
Nominate.
Oh, no. Oh no.
Degrassi.
Degrassi.
Eviction.
Goodbye, Degrassi. Just got in. Maybe the newest show in the whole fishbowl.
Degrassi. So Degrassi. People can save it. People can save it if they want.
Save Degrassi.
Save.
Are you kicking out a fourth or no?
I have two picks in a row. I guess let me just Family Matters, I'm cool with. Small Wonder, I'm cool with. Alf, I'm cool with. 90210, I think would be fun. Dawson's Creek, I'd consider it kicking it out.
You could also, like, especially if you want to kick something out, I don't, like, I might not use a fourth. I'm not sure.
What's SATC?
Sex in the City.
Oh, Sex in the City. Boy Meets World and Borderline. Gilligan's Island. I don't know what new we would take. I'll put Gilligan's Island there as an option. Ooh. To take out.
Well, people are mad. It's funny because some of the people who are, let's say, older than us are mad that we don't consider like Brady Bunch and stuff like that. But then the youngins have been getting on us.
What do you mean we don't consider it? I've made an impassioned case to that. For the record, I think Brady Bunch is in there.
I don't think it is.
It is. I'm literally looking at the fishbowl.
You're saying that Brady Bunch is in there? I thought we did not add it.
I'm pretty sure that we did. Now,
how big of a D-bag move would it be for me to kick it out right now?
You put it on your, make it your fourth pick.
No, I'm not because I have another one.
Okay.
All right. So wait, just to keep track, your four were Welcome Back, Kotter.
Yeah.
Riverdale. Degrassi. Well, we never have to pronounce it again if we freaking kick it out. All the Degrassi stands.
Yeah.
And then Gilligan's Island. And then my four are Muppet Show.
Mm-hmm.
And that I don't remember.
Carmen Sandiego.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? And what was my third
Sliders.
One? Sliders. Sliders. Yeah, that was smart. Don't put that one back in, guys.
Yeah, and what's your
fourth? And then Saturday Night Live. Is anybody going to care that we do an episode of Saturday Night Live from 1978?
It's the same as the Muppet Show, where I think it's,
But it's not a famous host. It's a really not famous host, also. It's not a great episode.
Okay.
If it was like season 30, episode 7, I think that's a really funny podcast.
Okay.
You know, it's like
Will Ferrell. We've never attempted a season 30, episode 7.
Well, there are. Okay, so we'll put that, and it's just The Simpsons, 60 Minutes, and Saturday Night Live. It's a whole new fishbowl. All right, so I got Muppet Show, Carmen Sandiego. You. SNL and Muppet Show.
Well, hold
no,
on.
I said Muppet Show twice. Sliders, sorry.
Yeah.
And Rob has Degrassi, Kotter, Riverdale, Gilligan's Island.
And SNL season 30, episode 7, Colin Farrell from December 11th, 2004.
Should we do that?
Yeah. Appearances by Lindsay Lohan and hockey player Brett Hull.
Ooh, Brett Hull.
Mm-hmm.
Traitor to Canada. He played for the United States.
Musical guest, The Scissor Sisters.
I don't even know what that is.
December 11th, 2004. Okay.
All right. So those eight shows are on the chopping block. And now let's get to the wheel spin.
All right. Robin Akiva's Solve a Murder. Season 3, episode 7 is down to two spots. Coin Flip, Oregon Trail, Rise and Fall of JTT. TV show theme song bracket. MTV shows are trash. April 13th, 1994. Jeopardy. Leprechaun 2, Millennial Boot Camp, The Rehapsular, and The Mystery Show are all here, Keeve. Okay, yeah. Are you ready for this week's spin of the wheel?
Yeah, there's nothing I'm upset about if it comes up. Okay. I'm excited for all these.
Excited.
Wheels locked and loaded.
Everything. Here we go on a jam-packed wheel. They're spinning. And next week, we will talk about Akiva. Are you ready? Yeah. I didn't ask you.
Yeah.
Are you ready to talk about The Rehapsular?
Oh, my God. Holy cow.
Are you ready?
Yeah. If anybody wants to go on a last minute date, tweet at me at Keeve26. Just tell me like your age and who you're looking for and what city you live in. Ideally, just because we have most of the people applying from the big cities, New York City, LA, and Chicago, but I'll accept any city. People are mad that I went too big city centric.
Okay. Now, a couple of things. One.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have a veto in your pocket.
Yeah. It's too early in the year. You gave me one for the whole year.
Super Bowl. It's the big game is coming up, Keith. Yeah.
The big game. Can't say the name.
One of your busiest weeks of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't believe this came up.
Are you prepared to do this or do you want to use the veto?
I'm not using the veto, Rob. You want to use it? You could use it. I'm not using the veto.
I definitely don't. This is a best-case scenario for me that I don't have to watch anything.
I put in like 10, 10,000 hours of work, you know, into this, you know.
Now, are we talking to any of the...
I'm not telling you. I'm not answering these questions
yet. Well, I need to...
It's all a surprise for you.
It's all a surprise for me. Okay, it's good. Yeah. If I don't you just have to show anything.
Up. You don't have to do anything. You just have to show up.
All right.
Well, actually, no. But Haley Strong, time permitting, will be with us. Because it's bachelor themed. So she will be... She's been helping me out. I have some assistants working on this also. But Haley Strong... We'll hopefully be here, assuming we can work out a time.
I think there's going to be a lot of hype for this.
I will say there are people in the group, in the patrons Facebook group that say that this is their least anticipated episode.
Oh, why?
Ironically, one of them was Edwin Johnson. And look what just happened to you, Edwin. You knocked the Rahapsular.
Why are people so not excited about this?
Well, I don't know. I think people think it's going to, like, what is it going to be? How about this? I worked way too hard on this. If it's bad... Then, like, you need to say, like, in the comments afterwards, like, this is the greatest episode of podcasting history.
Why?
Like, what? To make me feel better.
Oh, okay.
Like, that'll be sort of like the, if you hate it, that's what you say.
Hey, and if it's really good, people are going to want it to come back.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to get some new listeners. Some people get divorced. Some newly single listeners.
All right. So a lot of stuff to...
The Rahapsular, a.k.a. about. Robin Akiva Go to Heaven next week. Goodness gracious.
Oh, Robin Akiva Go to Heaven. Yeah. Oh, this is so exciting. Got so much good stuff.
Yeah. And this is a real surprise because a lot has happened and you are blissfully unaware of anything that's happened.
Yeah. I can't wait to find out.
I'm excited because I
wonder if people are like the Saved by the Bell episode. I feel like people are going to say, it was fine.
No. Anybody who said, they can go to hell. This was great.
You had fun?
Oh, yeah. That's all that's happened is we have fun. If we have fun, then everyone has fun.
Yeah. I thought we had some, you know, some fun moments, but I felt like that overall, I felt like that. Did we have high highs this week?
I think we had high highs.
I hope we had high highs. I mean, I'm always happy when we had high.
They're ready for some low lows next week.
Coming off of Conspirapod,
I feel like. And not just on Celebrity Big Brother, sorry.
Mm-hmm. All right. Akiva. Mm-hmm. What else?
Lolo Jones single. Should we set her up for the Rahapsular?
Who's single?
Lolo Jones, isn't she like a pronounced virgin or something?
Yes.
Yeah, we should set her up on the Rahapsular. Anybody want to date Lolo out there when she comes out of the house?
I don't know. We don't know her type.
Maybe she doesn't have a type. That's why she's still single.
Oh, I think she has a type. I think she's I don't think that, you stay single for 36 years and sort of, you know, she's, very much had. She says that she only I only go to the gym and to the supermarket.
I believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's on social media like a lot, like even for like a social media person. She's on it a lot.
Yeah. All right.
Big tweeter.
Keeve, what else?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm nervous about the Rahapsular. I'm excited. I'm excited about I'm excited to start tweeting to what's that dude's name? My son is bad with sharing. He's not going to let me take his PJ Masks watch. I'm going to have to take it when he's in school. I don't
Jocko?
Think he wears it in school. Jocko. I'm excited to start tweeting at Jocko when I wake up at like 10:30 in the morning.
I wouldn't mess with him.
By the way, and if he says like, "Hey, what's your address?" I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to say like, "My friend Rob told me."
Not me. Yeah. Not me.
He might be out there in L.A., so you might want to watch out.
I don't know if he's an L.A. guy.
I don't think he's an L.A. guy, but he might live in L.A.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did anybody from Saved by the Bell make it to the Renap All-Stars?
What are the Renap All-Stars?
The people.
Oh, like if we do a, like a Royal Rumble or something?
Yeah.
Well, Lisa Turtle was already on. Lisa, this is her second appearance. She was literally in the brand. She was in our fake Survivor season.
Oh,
Lisa
I totally
Turtle.
Forgot about that.
She came up more then than she did this week because she's not in. I didn't mention it. It was in my notes. She gets cut out of a group shot. There's a group shot of the six of them. And like this camera literally cuts her out.
Yeah, she didn't have a lot
she is
there.
Not a lot doing other than like the cheerleader this week. Not a lot going on.
Yeah, it wasn't a big episode. Big Screech episode. Violet also ate into the core six.
Yeah, I don't know if there are a lot of Lisa centric episodes. There's one or two. I don't think there's a lot.
Not too many. Okay. All right. Of course, all the Super Bowl coverage on the 32 Fans podcast is coming up. You guys have any big Super Bowl plans?
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
This week we generally don't talk about football because we made our predictions last week. I think we're going to do the actual Royal Rumble. We're gonna watch the Royal Rumble on 32 Fans this week.
Okay, and Chester's gonna watch it.
He said if I send him a link, he'll watch it. I think we did it last year, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Even if you don't watch wrestling, the Royal Rumble's fun. It's just a lot of fun. Even if you don't like know who the people are, it's a good time.
Okay. Let's see. Have any reviews here on iTunes? Go to robinswebsite.com/NAP to leave us a review or subscribe to the podcast. This is from Gretel120. Love them. S1 episode 19. This is only season one.
What do you mean?
That she says S1 E19 Conspirapod. She says that she's calling the Conspirapod season one.
She's saying this is season. When is season two of Robin Akiva Need a Podcast? I'm not sure.
She says, I'm still not sure who Akiva is, but this is one of the best RHAP podcasts out there. Aside from their Big Brother coverage, Robin Akiva have great chemistry and their banter is always hilarious. This podcast is great for a laugh, to clear your mind, and to listen to when you're doing other stuff. Listen to one episode and you'll be hooked. Also, their theme song is awesome. The Conspirapod isn't what I thought, but for the discussion of RFK and the Denver airport, they were fascinating. I hope to hear more conspiracies like flat earthers or do we land on the moon? The Illuminati card game, but maybe a time if it's revisited. What's Illuminati that? Card game?
I don't know. Maybe that's a conspiracy we don't know about.
Do all the Illuminati play in a big card game?
Maybe that's like the Tobey Maguire thing. By the way, we didn't mention, because this is episode 20, episode 10, Dad Advice Know-It-Alls.
Oh, yes. No, that was not one of my favorites.
No, I don't think, I think that has had a very short tail. I don't think anybody really, it was fine, but I don't think anybody cares.
Yeah. Oh, how about this one? We got a 2-star review, Keeve. 2-star review on January 13th. It said, the ideas can be creative, but it takes way too long to get into the meat of the episode for me. Akiva, I think that this was coming off of the, I can't believe it's just banter.
Yeah.
We got insane. A 2-star review off an all banter podcast because there was too much banter.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, most of the episodes we get really right into it with it. Like this week, it took us like 5 minutes, but there's a lot of weeks it takes us like 1 minute.
There was no foreplay this week.
No foreplay. And we actually this week did. We did the whole Jocko Willink.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But most weeks have no foreplay.
That we were ready to go and you went back for that. I asked you, did you have any banter?
You shouldn't have asked. Yeah. Shouldn't have asked.
We're getting another 2-star review.
Oh, boy. Sorry, Frantic Meditation. By the way, this person's name is Frantic Meditation 97. I think they should meditate more.
Yeah.
And make them happier
with our banter. Like, get to it.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. All right. Great stuff, Akiva, the podcaster's podcaster. You've done it again. At Keeve26, when will your poll be posted with the options for people to save their picks in the fishbowl?
Well, I don't want to spoil it, so we'll give it till Monday. On Monday, I'll post the poll.
Okay. All right. Great stuff, Akiva. Good work. Thank you guys so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Send your submissions to needapodcast@robinswebsite.com. Take care. Bye.